Now the difficulties with the state. Minister has this time of the year when the COP briefing takes place, Minister has got to add it with the President and so on. So we're having difficulty with those dates. At this stage, the 18th, the water debate, we are asking to change our time with DPI on the 16th. So that one seems to maybe be relatively organized. But the other debate on the 15th, the only day Minister is in the country is the 2nd. She's literally away from, she flies back on the 16th when the other debate takes place. So we just, I'm just mentioning this to say that there's some uncertainty with the times. We're trying to organize it with the whippery and with Parliament. So please just bear with me. I am trying to accommodate everyone so that we can have a debate, even if we're not finished with our hearing. Especially the environment debate is usually not a problem. So, but let's see how it goes, just so you know that there is some possibility of difficulty. Then we have these 2 days with the water board. Now, I hope that some of these hearings are not going to be as painful as last year. But we will only see once we have these inputs. I want us to be efficient today because we're going to start with the department and then Treasury to give us a bit of an overview. And then we've got 6 water boards today and 6 water boards tomorrow. So we really have got an enormous amount of work to get through. So let's try and see how we can do it best to it. At the moment, who's standing in for the BG, he may not be able to arrive, and that's fine. Who's giving the input, Matt? Toko's giving the input. Toko, I want you to, you know, the obvious, the purpose why you're here, and to thank my granny for giving you this opportunity in life. I don't need all those stuff. I don't need from anyone. Forget my granny. What I want you to do is just what are important stuff, like you've got schedules and that. All the other is just pass it by, okay? You are just here to set the scene for us. So you're not here to have the platform. Okay. That's a good way to start on. But Toko knows me well. She's suffered under me now for at least 2 years. She understands where I'm coming from. Toko, you start quite quickly. Skip these first pages. I see a purpose. I don't know what you want to give a purpose for. The purpose, the only purpose is that I called you here today. That's your only purpose in life. Water board, you don't have to discuss. I'm already on page 3. Where are you?
Thank you, Chair, and honorable members of the portfolio committee. I'm not going to thank you, but it's an honor again to be here.
Okay, thank my granny. Let's start. Oh, okay.
Looking forward to this day where we come to appear before you, and we have done a lot of preparation, and we feel that we are up to the challenge. Just to remind the members of the portfolio that we now have 12 water boards.
No, forget that. Skip Amber. Yes. Go to overview of entities.
Okay.
Let me help you, because
you're clearly
not listening to me.
And also in terms of the size of the water
board. Go, talk on.
Okay.
Talk there. What do you want to tell me?
In terms of the table, the overview, in terms of the financial and the volume.
Keda, Kaluma, Prav, talk.
I think the main thing there is to look at the size of the water body in terms of the volumes of the water that they sell. And you can look that the Rand Water has sold 1.4 billion worth of volumes of kiloliters, with the smallest water body, which is Pelagris, which has sold during the year about 3,724. So it's just looking at the size and the variability, and also in total we sold 2.3 billion of kiloliters of water.
Okay, go ahead.
And
compliance,
in terms of the government, in terms of the statutory compliance, those things that water boards need to comply with, they need to submit policy statements every 5 years to the minister, the business plan and the shareholder compact, the tariff submissions which are submitted on an annual basis by the 15th of March, quarterly reports which are being assessed by the department, and also the annual reports in
December. Okay, which
one can
do that? Give me the names so I can get them when I come in. Which one can do what?
So in terms of the annual report, Botswana water was delayed, and we reported to the Speaker of Parliament. And the other compliance, the next slide indicates.
Quarterly reports, everyone did it.
Yes.
And the tariff submissions, everyone did it.
Yes.
Okay, next slide.
Okay. The four next slides, Chair, they summarize the statutory compliance, the status, in terms of the compliance with our guidelines and also the quality of the shareholder
compliance. Compliance with the first one, guidelines.
Everybody complies, but the degree of compliance varies, because we appeared before you last time and you wanted us to be, to formalize the way that we do the business.
Which one did it badly? If you wouldn't say that they actually complied.
I think the smaller water boards do struggle.
Which one? Give me the name, Toko. Don't give me stories, the name.
Yes.
I want members to ask those ones questions, so that's why I'm moving in quickly.
Okay. I think that, Chair, we had problems with Botswana, we had problems with Bushbuck Ridge. There were also problems with Mahali. So those were the...
Those three. Thank
yes.
you. Go ahead. Let's see.
Yes. And in terms of the annual report analysis, as you can see the oh, I'm now on slide 14. The table. Yes. In terms, the key issue there is if you look at the sales that we did during the year, it came to 9.3 billion, and it indicates the size of the business in terms of the revenue that was generated. And also, if you look at the operating cost in terms of the labor, it was 1.7 billion. Energy, 1.2 billion in maintenance materials, and the chemicals, which is mainly purification. And if
the
you go...
The top part, they are the...
The volume sold. Okay, I've already
sales,
indicated.
The cost and so on.
Yes.
And then the bottom part are the expenses.
Yes.
And that's for all clouds.
Yes, the consolidated report.
What is the subsidy here?
It's when we have to subsidize some operations or activities which are related to municipal or secondary activities.
So you've subsidized that much there?
Yes.
26 million. 27 million.
Only five.
Or five.
We budgeted 26 and only five, yes.
Okay. All right?
Okay. I think the next slide was explaining the table and it indicates the issue of the cost of sales that maybe around the raw water that it was lower than 17% lower than what was budgeted. And the operation cost.
They would sell 70% less water than we thought they were going to sell. That would have been overall.
Yes.
Okay, we'll find out what that is.
Yes. And also the operating costs, Chair, they also rise by 15%. Energy costs by 14% higher than what was budgeted. And also the chemicals and purification. And these cost drivers are critical to understand at this stage, because when we come to the tariff, then you will understand why we requested tariff increase this year. And
overall, the operating cost was 15% higher, and then all these other ones are part of that 15%.
Yes.
Okay, members can look at that.
Yes. Then the next one looks at the volumes of water that were sold that were in
operating profits were 21% less than budgeted for.
Yes.
Okay, those are the important issues there. Okay, next slide.
Okay, if you look at the volumes of water that were sold, you can see that 61% was from rainwater and about 17% from Geni water, and then the others are split around those percentages. So it shows you the size and the of the two main water bodies in South Africa.
The Geni, the purple one?
Yes. Is it purple or brown?
I can't see it, so dark, I can't see the...
Oh, it's purple, yes.
How many percent there? So 63 and 16 is about 70% of the water board, water comes from those two.
From those two, yes. Right, and then... about the spread of the revenue, then you can see that rainwater revenue was around 63% for rainwater and 16% for Umgeni. I will in the next slide I will give you the rent value for those. It was around what was the amount from rainwater? The sales in total were 9.3 billion, and then 61% was from rainwater, and 16 was from rainwater. Okay. Then, Chair, we go to the slide 17. I know you are going to be difficult with us on this one. This one is around the capital expenditure. What we projected for 2010-11, it was 2.1 billion, and we managed to spend 1.6 billion. And I would request that when the water board present, they will give the reasons for other expenditure.
I can see that already on Geni again, it's double 100%. This year they're not going to get away with it. That's a little overspend. I don't know how to take that. As long as it's not on salary. Mahali understands vastly. Bloom badly. Plateau badly understands. Amatole only spent half of the money. Which was we spent 1/10 and 3/10 of the money. Luckily, Boschelo budgeted for nothing and they spent 3/4. I don't know how Ben outspent that one. Overberg was surprised that he spent and Fella just spent nothing. Fella just spent nothing. All right, so this is an important slide, members, when you get to those
In terms of the following one, I think all water boats did well except for two water boats, Amatola and Bushbuck Ridge, who operated in deficit. And with Amatola, I think they did explain last year, Chair, why they were here, their problems with secondary activity. And also the fact that both water boats are working in rural areas, and where it is really difficult for issues like cost recovery.
And those surpluses there, Rand Water Board has got a half a billion Rand surplus.
Yes.
And Mgeni has got close to half a billion.
Yes. It's 400.
Good question. All right?
Yes. But just to emphasize that they also borrow for infrastructure, so it balances out the surpluses and the money that they invest back to the
infrastructure.
Let me decide that. Go ahead. Okay, Chair, the following one is the, I think the portfolio committee is familiar with it, the debt that is owed to water boards by municipalities, and we have the table at the end of February. And by end of February, the total arrears were 1.1 billion, and I think the current was around 121 million. And I think National Treasury is also going to go into that.
The big one is Bushbuck Ridge, which is a quarter of a billion.
Yes.
Lepelele, which is one fifth of a billion.
Teddy Bank,
which is half a billion.
Yes. And we can also say that the minister has intervened. She has started an initiative where she is meeting with the mayors of relevant municipalities.
You tell me that every day. Okay, bulk water tariff.
Yes, Chair. The first column.
This is the longest meeting in the history of mankind. It seems to go on forever without us showing any results. Whatever. All right, Bob.
Okay. Okay, if you look at the tariff that we submitted in Parliament on the 15th of March, and they are in row 3. The first row indicates the 11, 12. And then the third row indicates the 12-13. And if you look
that
at...
That one there, that starts with 5.9.
Yes, it's 5
so
round...
The dollar is 5.9...
5 round 90 cents per kiloliter.
3, 4, 3, 3, 4. All right, they're relatively low. They were clever this year. They asked for a little money. They knew they would get away with not spending the other money. All right, so the highest one there is really 6.9.
Yes, and it has to do with operating in rural areas.
Now, what did I say last year about tariff increases? The tariff increase must only be for particular projects which you have better than checked. Now, I'm assuming that every project here that this tariff is asked for, you better than checked. The ones also from the end.
Yes, when water boards present, yes, they will confirm it.
I'm assuming you did it this year. Every single project you checked.
Yes.
And
yes.
You thought that, remember what I said, that the whole line of infrastructure must be available?
Yes.
Like in Mgeni.
Yes.
Every year they tell us that the municipalities are not building.
Mm.
You wouldn't give a tariff increase if you didn't check that.
Yes.
Am I right?
Yes.
So I can take your word for it.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay,
go ahead.
Okay. And then the following table, Chair, what happened is that after we have tables in Parliament on the 15th of March, on that very weekend, NERSA reduced the energy cost from 25.9 to 16%. and that slide is indicative of the further reductions in tariffs that is going to be applied by
the slide? I don't have it.
Okay, I can. What do you say in this slide? What happened is that. Yes. We have requested Waterport to revise their tariffs based on NERSA's reduction of energy costs. Because when they did the tariffs, it was based on the 25.9 projections that electricity was going to increase by 25.9. And after the reduction to 16%, then they have to adjust their.
Report of it. Okay. Tell me where the nine catchment areas are.
Okay.
Any members want to comment on the debate on it? I know that during the business review project, it was mentioned that they were looking at mine, but
yes.
It wasn't said that it was announced.
Yes.
Now they would have jumped on it.
Yes.
So we need that information very early,
okay.
Today, so
okay.
We can give it to members. We won't necessarily ask questions about it, but at least members will then have that information.
Thank you. And then we have also started key initiatives around aligning reporting framework. And I will just summarize that mainly to ensure that the shareholder compact are in line with the department strategic plan, operational plan, and also with the minister's performance agreement, and also aligning with the quarterly reporting.
Did you say you revised your database?
Yes.
Do we have all that information in, or are you still putting it in?
We are still putting it in.
What is your target when you think we'll be ready?
By June, end of June.
And how far back are you going with the information?
3 years back.
3 years?
Yes.
I like that. I think that's a good initiative. That's very important. You must keep me informed about this, Toko.
Okay. And then the other key initiatives, I think those are all the initiatives. And then, Chair, we also have the responses.
Hang on. So tell us, you told us those with the data. But are these others, you seem to be a lot here.
Yes.
Let us see. Now, this is important stuff. Let's look at this. The vision of Appendix 1 of Chair. So you're revising the compact.
Yes, shareholder compact.
Share that information with us before you finalize it?
Yes, we can.
Can you give us a copy?
Okay.
Yes.
Yes, we will do that, Chair, because
okay.
It's supposed to start in July.
No, we want to see what is changing, because there may be more than this can be. We need to get that urgently. Then the next is revise and align reporting. What is that? Slide 28. And you've got new templates you're asking the board to fill in.
Yes.
Give us a copy of that as well.
Okay.
So you must share these things with us. No use telling us about it, don't share it with us. Because we may have some ideas. I mean, Mr. Matera may read through it and say that why didn't you ask information about this or that or the other.
Yes.
And share these things with us. Get a copy of those stuff. Okay. All right, responses to PCW issues from 2011. Oh, that's interesting. What are your responses?
Chair, we can leave this with the portfolio committee to read. It's all the issues that you raised when we appeared before you last year, and we wanted just to indicate the progress that we have. We have made.
Oh, that sounds nice to me. I'm glad you take it seriously. I think you guys just thought you ignore us, but now I think you should take it seriously. Draft revised non-standard material. Have we done that? Revised non-draft?
Yes, Chair, we are working on it. It's linked to the legislative review of the department.
So it's not finished yet?
Yes.
Tariff determination timeline?
Yes.
Draft to optimize the process. Standard and uniform tariff.
Yes.
Now this is an important one. Though. How far are you with this?
We are working on it. We hope to have something by end of December.
See with this one, even if you find a standard that applies to everyone, then one can then still look at saying, okay, in the case of Ngeni, they never use their money, so we'll cut it with 5%.
Mm-hmm.
But the important thing is that in the country, that we don't let the poor carry the creation of infrastructure. So that is why you're looking for a basic tariff. so that all South Africans, and if I live in Lekker Lelen, or if I live in an old area that used to be our homeland, where there wasn't infrastructure, if you go look at your departments and they show you where the infrastructure doesn't exist, you go to the Eastern Cape, Limpopo, some of the town, where you had homeland, you'll see the colors are brighter. Now, what we need a uniform standard for is exactly so that it doesn't matter where you live in the country. You pay the same for water as everyone else. You do not bear the responsibility because of the sins of the past. That's why a standard tariff is important. Then you can start looking. Once you've got a standard tariff, then you can look at individual water boards. You can say, well, Rand Water, big calories, big bucks, cut. Ngeni, don't spend money, cut from the standard. Okay? Because then they use some of their reserves to make up to get to the standard. I'm just using an example, it doesn't have to be said. In the other case, it may be that other areas you really need to supplement. But then government needs to supplement. The standard tariff mustn't supplement. The standard tariff must be what all South Africans pay for. Whether you then take less or more, then that has to be other sources. Because I'm telling you, you know, there's a real possibility of someone constitutionally telling me. If I live in an area where I'm constantly paying more for water than another area, I tell you, if I take that challenge to court, I think I will have a good chance of winning. A good chance. Because the equality clause is there. So I say I lived in an old Bantustan area. I now have to pay to get the infrastructure I've lived in. By the way, I'm paying even more because the municipality is not paying the water board back, so I'm paying the water board more also for the municipality. So I think we must get this thing and sort it out, Coco. Mm-hmm. If there's one thing that we must urgently attend to, is this one. Mm-hmm. The standard tariff. How we then deal with the legacy of the past is then a different issue. But we must standardize it. If we don't standardize it, the chance of getting a challenge somewhere along the line is going to be good. And in any case, just for us as parliamentarians, it's important that we look at this thing and see that we see equity. I must tell you, every time the water board comes here, I don't see it. The other thing, of course, this standard tariff has to go wider than water board. Because, I mean, what about all the municipalities that are not within the water board? We find that they are tariffs. How are we going to deal with that? But at least if we start with the ones that are under us, the water board, that will really help. Then we can see the next step is how we deal with the municipality. So that's an urgent issue, okay? Analysis of water board tariffs, okay, well, I think that's the same thing. Tariffs for entire water body plan.
Yes, Chair. Then we have started a project that is looking at the tariffs for the entire water body chain, which will also include looking at the revising the raw water pricing strategy.
Okay, I don't fully understand that one, but it's fine, I hear what you're saying. Why do you want
the independent regulator? No, Chair. Last year we presented on it, but the Minister has given a directive that we need to look at an internal economy.
Much more in line now.
Yes.
Right, normal plans of all. I know that Treasury likes this stuff, but you're not looking at Treasury about it. That's completely on the wrong track. Okay. Take that expenditure. Provide normal standards of
I think what you have just explained that if we have
this is where we're saying we must what is Ngeni water drop.
Yes.
That you must actually create projects that exist for the whole value chain.
Yes.
And get funding for the whole thing. That's the job getting part funding and part and push. Okay, so you're looking at that?
Yes.
Salary structure and bonuses. What are we doing here? This I like. A new policy for remuneration of chief executives has been developed. Oh, I like this. The practice of short-term... Oh, okay. All right, you must share this with us, whatever you have.
Okay.
feel very free to say this with us. Yeah, I can assure you, I can see every member here. It doesn't matter which party they belong to. Yeah, we're going to be using a lot of people. Okay. When you give us these factors, you can also give us the salary of all the boards. Mr. Panamero, million. Mr. Lamini from Rand, 15 million. Give the salary structure. So that we can see what we've got. Okay? Not only what your guidelines are going to be, but we can also see what people are getting. That will be very useful. That one we'll give to the media. We'll see how that works. Respondents on the non-compliance of water board.
Okay, we have. Yes.
Have you said already?
Yes.
That is capacity. What? Are you fixing up your capacity?
Yes, we are.
About time, eh?
Yes, it's through the previous process, the engineering.
Okay, it'll be finalized there.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then summary and conclusion?
Sure, just to say that in general, the performance of water boards was satisfactory, and they continue to contribute to the development of infrastructure in the country, and they are valuable assets that we all need to support in this country.
All your conclusions are what the committee will draw. Thank you very much. None of those you should have drawn, but okay. Can I just say this is one of the better reports I've received from the Department of Water. We're starting to understand what we're looking for when we look at the water board. This is very useful because now we're not daily involved with it, but with this document in front of us, the members can now, when they get to every of the water boards, they can quickly check down the each of these headings and see where the issues are. So, Coco, Ms. Coco, you're my hero. You're starting to get there. You're starting to get there. Thank you very much. But I wouldn't go that far. I think you're far too easy with your bonus. We expect a bit more. All right. Are there any burning questions now, or I'm going to quickly let Treasury also give us the overview. So is there any specifics you need to know? Treasury? Firstly, I want to thank Treasury for being here once again. I really appreciate it, both of you. Again, if you can just pick on, like, topic and the most important, to get all the comments here about how wonderful we are.
We only had about 14 slides. I think the role of National Treasury, we repeat it every year, but it's basically in terms of the Public Finance Management Act and the Municipal Finance Management Act. In terms of our analysis of the water board, we're focusing on these key four areas for this year. The first one is the municipal debt for those four water boards, their local stock rates, the PLA and Teddy Bank. The outstanding debt, which is, you know, in the region of a year to 2 years old, really surpasses any of their current operating businesses or their tariffs for that matter. Bushbuckridge, for example, is receiving a set monthly tariff from the municipality, so the actual tariff is not applied to the volume. In terms of then the second key focus areas is those water boards who borrow from the financial markets to fund their debt, and that's your three of the larger water boards with Rand, Umfutuzi, and Ngeni. Because they borrow from the financial markets, they have to maintain adequate financial adequacy to be able to repay their debt and to meet the obligations in terms of their loan agreement. Then we're looking at...
Just dropping there, if they've got such big surplus, why are they borrowing? It may be obvious reason, I just can't see.
Generally, we encourage SOEs to borrow to fund infrastructure so that it can be repaid over the lifetime of the assets. The debt for Ngeni, Rand, or Umfutuzi will not cover their capex plan in any kind of given capital period. So they need to borrow in order to finance the volume of capex and to
keep ongoing. I realize that, but I'm asking the question, if both of them almost have half a billion Rand surplus.
The surplus is used to build reserves, and portions of the reserves are then used for the capital plan. So the surplus alone doesn't cover the entire capital project. and especially
how much of this purpose is used annually by them as an average to help top up the forum?
It varies quite dramatically every year, depending on their capital plans and what they're building in terms of their infrastructure. So Rand also, for example, used a lot of reserves in the last financial year. I don't have the figure offhand, but I think it was at least maybe 40% CD of their reserves, of their capex was from reserves. And Gady, on the other hand, and what's also important is that the profitability doesn't necessarily mean cash in their hands. They don't necessarily have that cash in that year to spend it. The third area where we look at, in particular, Hamatola, Blom, and Mahalis, are those water boards that are basically operating on the margin. And we've seen, you know, that Hamatola reported a deficit in the last financial year. So basically, these water boards are unable to fund new capital and refurbishments, and the infrastructure is deteriorating. And they don't have the balance sheet with which Gainey Land or Institute we have, so they can't borrow to fund their capex. So they're generally not funding capex, and their infrastructure is deteriorating, and eventually they're going to have to have even more capex if it's not maintained. And then the last two is Overberg and Pelagic, which are very small in comparison to the other water boards. They operate, Overberg operates in predominantly a farming area, and Pelagic serves 90% of their water goes to a mining area, so they're not. They're different from the other water boards, A, because they're so small, and B, because they don't have multiple municipal clients.
I like that summary. I like that division of categories can help us visualize what is happening.
Yeah. These are the percentages. Before they were revised, we also don't have a copy of the revised ones from Water Affairs. But predominantly, our water tariff analysis looks at the internal inflation of each water board. So moving on to the next slide, if you then break down the tariff for each water board in terms of their major cost components, you'll see the first cost component is raw water, which generally went up by about 9%. It's going up 9% for the 2012 financial year. And what water boards pay for raw water, depending on the catchment where they draw their water, varies dramatically. So Botella, for example, has a very high raw water cost. Rand and Sedibeng have a high water cost because they're getting water through the Lesotho Highlands scheme, which has a higher cost. And then, if you compare, for example, to the other water boards, Bushbuck Ridge, for example, I think it's more a matter of discounting raw water costs, but also Blom and Lepele, their raw water costs vary, and that's, water boards are price takers. They don't set the raw water costs. They buy it from Water Affairs. The next cost component is then your staff cost, which depends on the number of staff you have, which depends on how much infrastructure you have, whether you have one treatment plant or such as one major treatment plant such as Rand Water, or you have six or seven treatment plants such as Amatola, and how many different staff you need, and also depending on your secondary business, how much extra staff you need to do those management contracts. Your energy cost, as we said, that's again water boards are price taker from Eskom, and this again depends on where they need to pump their water to, how many reservoirs they have, how many treatment plants, the distance between their customers. The chemicals is actually a small cost component, and that's basically dependent on what the water quality is that they receive from Water Affairs, how many chemicals they need to apply. Depreciation and amortization and your repairs and maintenance. Those are really the only two cost items that water boards can adjust, and those are generally based, again, on their asset value. Depending on what value of assets they have, it will determine how much they need to depreciate them every year, and depending on the age of the infrastructure, what the repairs and maintenance are. Your other costs, which across the water boards, is not a major cost component, and there's no one major cost in other costs, but it's things like your audit fees, your travelling, subsistence, those kind of expenses. Your finance expense then is only really in those water boards that are repaying debt. And then in terms of the tariff, then you have a capital component, which as you can see, not all water boards include a capital component in their tariff. And then a surplus component, which again, very few water boards actually have a surplus in their tariff that they propose. And this is basically their tariff it's calculated to break even, or then it's justify what the surplus component is. So of course, like Richard Lepele, their surplus component is mainly to cover cash flow when they don't recoup debt. So generally their tariff that they set is not always what they collect, and they have a surplus portion in that. And in gaming, in terms of their loan covenants, they have to maintain an interest cover ratio, which I'll get to in a separate slide.
And some of the problematic water boards, that labor is the biggest component. Do you have a percentage worked out with the yellow party of the...
Per employee?
I mean, the yellow in some of these are the dominant, like Teddy Bear.
Yeah.
Bushbuck
is
the problematic
one
that are struggling.
Yeah, funny enough,
Bushbuck
Ridge. You've
got the percentage of those.
Of the breakdown. You can get the percentage, but it's not always indicative. Because Bushbuck Ridge and Overberg, although it's the biggest cost component, if you work it out per employee, their cost is lower. So if you work out a per employee staff cost, it's higher than your RAND or Katusi, and I'm gaining it for your bigger water boards, and I'm the tallest situated in big areas. And if you work out a per employee cost, so although Bushbuck Ridge and Overberg staff cost is a big proportion of their cost, it's because the other costs are lower, if that makes sense. So the percentage is not always indicative, particularly for staff costs. It depends on the number of staff they have, and again, that depends on the area which they serve, how many treatment plants they have, how many extra management contracts they do and things like that, what additional services they provide to municipalities. So we do have a breakdown.
Which ones would you say, taking that on into consideration, which ones would you say of these waterfalls spend disproportionately on their stock?
It's hard to say from the outside. I mean, as I said, our analysis, you know, once we looked at the percentages, we then went and broke it down per the number of employees they have. I wouldn't be able to say which one has too many employees, but based on the number of employees they have, their staff costs are in line with the area in which they're situated and the services they provide.
Okay.
So again, you know, tariff comments are focusing on those four areas. So in terms of debt repayment, for 2D RAND and Gany, for Umpa 2D, we had no major concerns, and that's predominantly because they kind of reached the peak of their debt expenditure. So now they're tapering off, not their debt expenditure, their capital expenditure. So now they're tapering off on capital and it's just debt repayment. RAND also, we were concerned on the decline in the expenditure and maintenance. As I mentioned, maintenance is generally the one area where if the tariff gets cut, or their revenue is not collected, that's the one area where they can cut expenses quite easily because they can't, for example, not buy chemicals or not pay their staff or not purchase the raw water itself. So generally when there is a cut, then it goes in terms of operations and maintenance. And we said that although they are spending a lot of their reserves on capital, their surplus is increasing and their reserves, despite the growth in capital expenditure. Usually when you have a growth in capital expenditure, you have a decline in reserves and or a decline in surplus, depending on the timing. On Gany Water, obviously the main area of concern is the raw water costs, which are eroding their profitability. Out of the water board, I think they had one of the lowest increases in terms of a 6.1% increase. And a further slide indicates the growth in income in terms as compared to their growth in costs. They're also doing significant rural infrastructure. We had a meeting last week with Umgani and the Department of Water Affairs Regional Bulk Infrastructure Grant, which is a Schedule 7 grant which Water Affairs does. So Umgani, because they're funding, because their regional rural projects are not grant funded, they're just impairing the capital that they're spending. Other water boards don't have this luxury because they can't impair, they're operating on the margin. So Gany, to some extent, is using their healthy balance sheet and their financial position in order to do regional projects, which is effectively a lot at the end of the day in terms of the capital expenditure. in with the three water boards in terms of future sustainability and capital requirements. Macquarie's water, there was insufficient financial information, and I think that will link to the qualified audit opinion that they received in 2011. For Amatola, you know, the issues around increasing costs, particularly their staff costs, and that relates to their secondary activities and their regional offices, and the low returns that they're getting on these secondary activities. Blumwater, there is still, as far as we are aware, the outstanding issue with the Mangong contract, and I know our Office of the Accountant General has set up a meeting in the Free State, I think on the 9th of May, with all the municipalities. And then basically Overberg and Pillager, the main areas are just the long-term sustainability of these water boards, given their small size and their inability to fund CapEx from their current operations. And then the municipal debt issues are the main issues affecting those four water boards, which Waterfairs has spoken to, and we'll have some of recommendations that we'll present that we've also presented to Waterfairs previously. In terms of the financial analysis, and we've just got the profitability and efficiency indicators, I think I don't want to repeat what the department has already highlighted. Maybe just think to look at the top three band and updating. So band, for example, had the highest net profit, but if you look at their net profit margin, and that's the profit that they make for every rand of water sold, and the return on their assets, these are 9% and 7% respectively, so they're not excessive. You generally want them to make a profit in order to sustain their, you know, to sustain their business, but you don't want them to be making, you know, a very high profit. On strategic, by comparison, they had the highest net profit margin of 26%, and that was largely because, if you see in the last column, the actual costs went down. This was last year they impaired a lot of assets, and they sold a lot more water than they had budgeted for. Ganey's has a high net profit margin and return on operating assets, and as I mentioned, though, if you look at the yellow highlighted in the second to last column, the growth in income is actually going down, although their costs are going up. Although it looks healthy at the moment, you know, year on year, they're eroding their profitability and increasing their costs, although they're maintaining their costs. I think I won't go into specific more details on each water board.
You're saying, if I understand you, that Peter Gwynn is taking less water from them, that's their main fund. And then in return, what they're doing, they're investing in the rural areas with green infrastructure and infrastructure. Is that what's happening in Ganey?
Yes.
Yeah. That sounds very good.
But I think, you know, that maybe what's different in this slide from the Waterfairs slide to focus on is to compare the annual growth in total income, which is your growth from 2011 compared to 2010, and your annual growth in total cost, so it's your year-on-year. And if you look as a sector, income grew by 12% and costs grew by 10%, which really gives you a 2% buffer or margin. So as a sector, you know, their income is not increasing, it's increasing 2% higher than their costs. So it's not excessive, as we would see it. And if you look at them again,
there are the negative.
Yes, but then again, if you look at, for example, Amatola's annual growth in income, their income is growing more than their costs. So that will then indicate that it will turn around. As long as your income is growing more than your costs, you know, that's the position you want to be in. You don't want to be in a position where your costs are growing more than your income.
Because it's the other way around.
Yeah, Bushback Reds are a bit of an anomaly because they're impairing their bad debt, so they have huge bad debt write-off, so that increases their costs over and above the other water boards. If you compare, so for example, Bushback Reds, instead of being, they had the highest growth in costs because they wrote off debt. If you, on the other end of the scale, it's Blum and Lepele whose total costs declined because last year they wrote off their debt. So this year their costs are lower than they were last year because they did the debt write-off in that year. The second part of the
question. Because this slide, in terms of growth more than cost, then you said Amatola is doing well, Bloom is doing well, Bushbuck is not doing well, Letelele is doing well, Makalis is doing well, Tratuni is doing well, Overlook is doing well, Philippus is not doing well, Grand is doing well, Sedivan is not doing well, and Gen is not doing well, in terms of that ratio.
Yes. And that's obviously then based on the tariff increase that they got in the last financial year. And the income is based on a tariff and the cost breakdown as per the previous slide with the different color components.
And then below that you say the 12 and the 10 read as a positive in terms of
for the sector as a whole.
The sector as a whole is 12% more income growth, up 2% more than the cost growth.
Yeah, so overall the cost, the income growth is just slightly higher than the cost growth.
Okay.
The second part of the financial analysis looks at what we call the solvency and the liquidity ratios, which is your interest cover and your current ratio. So your interest cover tells you whether you can pay your interest obligations, literally the bank, from the profits that you've earned. Your current ratio tells you at this point in time, do I have enough current assets to cover my current liabilities? So if your current liabilities are called, you could convert your current assets into cash and pay them. And generally the benchmark for both of these ratios is 2. So we do a consolidated picture here, because if you consolidate all the water boards, then you're naturally focusing on Rand, Ngeni, Umfutuzi, Amatola and Bloom to a small extent, because they are so big in terms of their overall sector. So the benchmark is very strongly swayed by Rand and Ngeni, obviously, because, you know, that 70-80% component that Walter presented. So we've seen on the interest cover that it's increased from 2.1 to 4.4, which is a good increase. It means that water boards are able to repay their interest obligations, as indicated by the increase in the interest cover ratio. When banks lend to any entity, they'll generally set a margin, a condition that, for example, your interest cover ratio cannot go below 2 times. I know Ngeni, when we had discussions with them around their borrowing limits approval, the European Investment Bank wanted to set an interest cover ratio of 4 times. And that's what the bank said, because they, you know, it's based on what they view as the risk of the entity. And as far as I can think, in the actual agreement, it was signed 2.5 times. So, you know, we said 4 times interest cover is a bit excessive to expect an entity to keep. And we could see Ngeni wouldn't be able to keep a 4 times interest cover ratio based on the impairment of their rural projects. So that's just a bit of context in terms of what that benchmark means for those entities that do borrow. When we look at the current ratio, though, we see it's improved slightly from last year, but it's still just below the two benchmarks. And generally that means they have almost double current assets in terms of current liabilities, but it does indicate that there could be cash flow constraints in terms of paying their debts. As I mentioned earlier, you know, because the benefits of infrastructure are usually derived over a long period of time, they should be financed primarily through debt rather than current expenditure. So the infrastructure is paid for over the lifetime of the assets rather than, for example, us bearing the burden now for the benefits that will be received in the next 20 to 40 years, for example. And this can promote intergenerational equity. And the point then being that water boards can only access debt financing if they are financially sound and if they are able to maintain those ratios in terms of their balance sheet, in terms of their interest cover and their current ratio. Moving from the finance on to the operational side, water boards really sit in the middle of the value chain. That's them there in the middle in terms of their bulk distribution. Some of them do a bit of raw and some of them do a bit of retail. So generally, we found that the biggest strength that water boards reported in their last annual report was that they're able to maintain a high quality of water, regardless of the quality of water that they source through the Department of Water Affairs in terms of raw water. The weakness is the deteriorating and aging infrastructure. As I've mentioned, the repairs and maintenance is generally the first area to get cut, and those water boards that aren't able to borrow or who aren't able to collect revenue are not maintaining the infrastructure. Because they operate just in the middle of the water value chain, they're subject to a lot of threats and opportunities and issues outside of their internal operations, so it's external issues. So obviously then the opportunities that exist within water boards as a sector is business growth and expansion. So for example, a lot of them do some water management functions in terms of the raw water side of the business for the Department of Water Affairs, and those are subsidized through the grants and subsidies that they receive. A lot of them do retail support and provision to municipalities in terms of what they call secondary activities. Whilst there are obviously opportunities, there are external threats to their business, and that's generally the poor raw water quality and availability that they receive. And I think that's why a lot of them try and get involved in the water management side of the business, because then they can ensure that the quality that they get, they can monitor that themselves. And then the poor contractual agreements with municipalities, because they sell to municipalities, you know, they can't really do anything unless they have that relationship and that contract with the municipality. I think it also talks to the issue about the standardized tariff and where the subsidy system comes in, because generally the subsidies are at your retail level in terms of equitable share, your municipal infrastructure grant, and even your regional bulk infrastructure grant, and then the Department of Water Affairs funds it through their main accounts and their trading entities budget. In terms of municipal debt, I think there's ongoing engagement between which includes National Treasury and Provincial Treasury and the relevant municipalities. National Treasury.
You say there, actually, it's on the slide, that they're not really a subsidy system at the water board level.
No, and that's why in terms of the
municipal level.
Yeah, and that's why in terms of the Public Finance Management Act, they a schedule entity. Their main business is not subsidized in any way. And that's generally why your bigger water boards who have your large municipalities, your metro clients, are able to sustain themselves, because they can only, you know, they completely rely on municipalities.
So this idea of having nine
catchment management
would seem to be logical.
Well, it depends to some extent. Your nine catchment management areas is in terms of your raw water. So in terms of the first part of the value chain, that will just be managed in terms of nine areas. And effectively, what it should result in is it should mean your raw water part in any of those nine areas will be the same, because it's managed as a catchment, as opposed to now where I think it's over 300, maybe even 400 different raw water parts, depending on where you extract your water from. So the catchment management area is rationalizing and not consolidating, but formalizing your raw water management, because that's what your CMAs will do. And then your water board is then looking at your bulk side of things and your municipalities, your retail and municipalities. So all water boards, you know, all the tariffs that we pay are set by municipalities. None of them are set by water boards per se. It's just the input cost. If there's no water board, for example, in Cape Town, the bulk and retail is done by the city itself. And whether the city then cost subsidizes or not is up to the municipality. A water board, because it's a separate entity, there can't be cost subsidization between any other municipal service. And I mean, it is a complicated setup, and I think that's why.
What makes the decision whether the municipality actually does it or whether the water board does it? I mean, in financial terms, I'm asking you, what makes which one makes sense and why?
again, it's a case-by-case basis, and predominantly the water boards were set up because they can supply more than one municipality, they can supply industries, farmers, whoever else they want to supply. So they get the economies of scale from supplying different regions. So Amatola, for example, they actually shut down some of the smaller treatment plants and operated and then maintained bigger treatment plants so they could cut their costs in that sense. So instead of each municipality having their own little plant, they can have one big plant that services two or three municipalities, for example. And that's where Overberg and Pedersen are different because they don't have a lot of municipalities or a lot of clients. So they don't necessarily get the economies of scale and they rely on those customers only. So the economies of scale argument depends, again, on the setup and the structure. And Van Water have obviously in the prime position because they have one major water treatment plant that supplies very big municipalities and very big industries. So from that sense, their costs are lower because they can have because the distances between them are all much smaller and their volumes are much higher. And your tariff is effectively your cost divided by your volume. So if you have higher costs and lower volumes, you know, then your tariff is going to be higher. And that's talking more about operational costs, not necessarily your capital costs. Because the capital cycle works generally in a 40 to 50 year cycle. So they only undertake major capex every 40 to 50 years. So Blum and Amatola, for example, get into a situation now where they need to undertake major capex. And how they do that and how they fund that is then dependent. So, for example, Wanganyi is doing some funding through the regional bulk infrastructure grant and they're writing off the other capital that they're financing. So when you're talking about the tariff, it's predominantly your operational costs, which are very dependent on the geography of the area and the setup of the water board in terms of your economies of scale. So the municipal debt, again, National Treasury and Provincial Treasury, you know, are involved in terms of the MFMA and all these processes. But I think the recommendations that we've made, which are very clear, is that the municipal debt is primarily the responsibility of the water board. It's not the role of the executive authority or National Treasury, for example, to make sure that municipalities pay. Effectively, it's the role of the water board to have proper care and control processes in place. So the recommendations that were made were to clarify the roles and responsibilities of the water board, the governance and oversight by Water Affairs and by each water board in terms of the performance of its CEO and CFO to address customer client issues with a view to implementing policies as articulated in legislation and as addressed by Water Affairs and National Treasury as oversight authorities. Performance contracts of CEOs to review, suggest the gaps and weaknesses, such as the implementation of measures for timely collection of arrears, resolution of disputes, proper administration over credit control policies and actions taken. In addition, National Treasury has made recommendations to prioritize assistance to those water boards and municipalities who don't have appropriate service level agreements in place. National Treasury, I mean, it does things in terms of the equitable share as an unconditional grant and water as part of the equitable share. So we review the equitable share formula and we increase the appropriations in terms of the equitable share to fund it. But a lot of the issues around disputes are historical issues. So even if you pay it with the equitable share now, it will be a perpetuating cycle because the equitable share should fund your current operating expenditure.
So, I mean, with these recommendations, let's look at the legacy part, not the future part. With the legacy part, you're trying to have enough problems to upgrade the way you do things to do it better and so on. These recommendations are there. But how does that pay the debt back to 1.6?
Well, part of the debt, as the water boards have done, is being written off because these policies and processes weren't in place when the debt arose. And the longer the debt accumulates, the harder it is to repay it. the water board municipalities do repay a small portion of the debt, and they do repay it back over time, as is in the case of Bushbuckridge local municipality. But the debt cannot be written off, for example, in 1 month. It will take, again, years to write it off. And National Treasury can't be in a situation where we effectively bail out municipalities who don't pay their debts, because then there would be no incentive for municipalities to pay their debts. If they knew, if they just built it up for 4 years, National Treasury would come and bail it out.
Does that mean now we're letting the thing lie there? We're trying to get everyone to do things better. But in effect, we're in our hearts right here. We know that the 1.6 billion doesn't really pay. Is that what it's saying?
From our side, the issue is really resolving the reasons why it started in the first place, because those are, in many cases, legitimate reasons around contractual agreements, around powers and functions, around illegal connections and whatnot. So,
and I am with you. I would give you all my support right now. But that's just really Now, what do we do about the 1.6? Say we'll write it over a little bit at a time. The 1.6, you're going to have to write a little bit at a time. So what it means, see, my problem with the solution is that what we're doing is those four, I think, municipalities that have the debt, we're just keeping them back forever. Because I mean, clearly the 1.6 not really there. I mean, a little bit of peace, but not really. So what we're really saying to the people in those four areas, you will fund it.
Well, but part of the reason is also to determine whether that 1.6 should be repaid. So, for example, in Bushbuck Ridge, a lot of it is illegal connections and they don't have proper meters in place. So they just, you know, the municipality will dispute that they owe that money. So that's kind of what the resolution process is about, is then to resolve how much does each party pay. Because obviously the water board would say the highest amount.
So we get to a stage where we know and how much they owe. And what do we then?
Generally the municipalities then make agreements to repay the debt over 2 years, for example. And I think that's the case. We've had those cases in Lepele, Sederbing and Bushbuckridge. Unfortunately the municipalities don't always honour their monthly payments. But they do, for example, pay a set amount, $5 million every month, in terms of the debt repayment.
So we've got our little box where we're going to fix it up, then we've got our little box of sorting out the 1.6 with some payments, and then you're saying the future now. What has Treasury done in terms of the money that gets to the water board to solve the problem that doesn't take place? And you change your funding mechanism anyway whatsoever.
The equitable share now.
You're just going to let the problem persist.
We had this discussion last year in terms of the equitable share, and as it is, it's an unconditional grant, and it's effectively a political decision that water is part of this equitable share as an unconditional grant, because it is the municipality's responsibility, and because in terms of this diagram, the retail part is the responsibility of the municipality.
But this committee keeps telling you that that is wrong, not going to solve the problem, that clearly we have to change the funding mechanism. As, by the way, I'm going to tell you, Treasury has done the three municipal projects on the latest budget of water. There are three projects now where they give the funding of a project in a municipality to water affairs to oversee that with the municipality, to make sure there's accountability of the money spent on the water infrastructure. So already there's one part of Treasury which is biting the bullet. I'm now trying to. I want to get on the record that this is going to. You see, for my problem I have is if we sit here every year and we have the same problem, and Treasury is not prepared to change the funding formula, then we can just as well sit here every year and just twiddle our thumbs, because we're not going to solve the problem. So I'm trying to work out why Treasury is just absolutely not planning to do what part of what you're doing.
Yeah.
those other projects, why are we not doing it for particularly those water boards which, where the municipalities are not paying? Why don't we change that formula? There's nothing in reason. It's just a decision by Treasury and no one else.
Petrus will add in, but I think what's different in those cases is that capital expenditure as opposed to operational expenditure. And municipalities still operate the water function in terms of the retail function. So the critical share, for example, is not only to pay water boards, it's to pay a host of municipal services. And how the municipality budgets for those services is a municipal function. And I think that's where Treasury gets involved with municipalities to assist in a budget and a tariff process.
But I must sit here and say, if you had to say this, you would say this wrong. See, nothing is legal. See, nothing is legal that binds Treasury to do something in a certain way. So Treasury is a deal. If Treasury wants to do, I'm going to give you a chance. If Treasury, see, the problem is, I don't want to have this, I mean, when I look at this input, it's just so clear to me you understand all the problems. I mean, you do a wonderful input. You understand the problem. I just can't see why we can't get Treasury for you guys to buy in to the fact that a next step is needed to make the problem solved. That's my problem I'm having. Because all the things about municipalities, all about provinces, by the way, and even sometimes the national government, we give money on certain conditions. We give you this money if you go and use it for water infrastructure. If you don't, you take it back. We don't. I mean, what you're allowing now is a blank check to municipality. Say, when you make your decision, do as you like. We are giving you X amount for water. But if you want to spend it on housing, you want to spend it on salaries, you want to build a new boat, do it. That's fine. We don't have a problem with it. And all it will do is build up the debt and not have a solution for how to get the debt paid. And I'm just not seeing the logic. I mean, Treasury does everything that in my, how many years am I here? 94. A lot of time. Everything Treasury does, sometimes very conservatively, but they do with a lot of logic. And so I just don't understand that Treasury does not see this logic. I'm actually flabbergasted. But let me hear you quickly, yes, maybe you help us with some. I know some of your answers is those done big projects.
I wanted to say that you've put a slide which is addressing some questions.
Oh. Alright, well let's go to that slide, then we can hear. Maybe it will take some of my frustrations.
I don't think it will address with your frustration. But effectively what it says is in terms of the 2012 medium term expenditure, $960 million has been added to alleviate the cost of anticipated above inflation increases in basic service costs. The local government's applicable share formula is being reviewed during 2012, taking into account the comments that you've made, and a new formula using 2011 census data and more realistic cost estimates should be phased in from the 2013-2014 financial year. All municipalities and stakeholders will be consulted during the review process. I think the key issue
is this new formula?
Unfortunately, I won't be able to go into the details now. I'm not involved in the intergovernmental relations. But it's looking at how we proportionalize the different parts of allocations in terms of equitable share, because the formula gives you a service component and then what they call a balancing component per municipality. So it will change the amount of funding which goes to each municipality. And I mean, the biggest issue will be the new data that is used from the 2011 census, because unfortunately we're still using 2001 census data because there hasn't been an update since then.
Is it accurate? Is it? Well, I'm getting excited here. Very excited. There is equitable share, total allocation, then there's water and sanitation. Now, it looks to me like we're breaking it down. Are we breaking it down and saying, this portion will give you, and you must spend it on water.
Okay, in the latest division of revenue, we'll be publishing extra allocation, which means the public will be able to hold municipalities accountable on using funds that have been allocated for water to other things. And then going forward, we're looking at a differentiated approach. More especially in Kuwa municipality, how we should restructure the equitable share to respond to the needs in those Kuwa areas as compared to the urban areas.
And we've not created any treasury mechanism. We're not saying to them, if you don't spend it, we're taking it back. We're saying the public must hold them accountable.
That's one side of it. And then there is a number of funding mechanisms that we are exploring. That's why I was saying that there is a slide where we will be showing you.
But tell me this. I know Salga, for example. I think they're here. I know they don't like, most of them, don't like geotech conditions. I know they don't like it. And I understand why, but I personally don't agree with them. Now, I'm trying to understand from Treasury's side, if you've now done sort of breaking this down, why don't you go the next step? And Treasury says, but you will use it for water issues, and if you don't, we'll take it back. I'm trying to understand why we don't go that step. So we're not saying we're not giving the money to you. We're giving it to the municipality. We say you spend it. But you must spend it. If we give it to you, if we decide here's a case, and we say this part is for water, then we want to see that part spent for water. We don't want to see you spend it on housing, or on your new building, or on extra salaries, or whatever. I'm trying to just find out, if we've now gone this far, why is it not going the next step to say, but if there's this money set aside for water, you will spend it on water or we take it back. Why are we going at one step? What? Is there a political problem? Are we scared of who?
Thank you, Chair. The only challenge is that it's sitting in the equitable share, which is unconditional grant. And then if we have to follow the approach of saying if you don't use it, you get it back, then we'll have to look at creating a conditional grant, focusing specifically on that. But that will be part of, we appreciate that, that will be part of the way forward in terms of how we'll be dealing with some of the issues. We'll look at that and then see how we can work on it.
All right, now I can see you tiptoeing slowly. You become a scared treasurer. You're not as bold as you used to be. I see you tiptoeing slowly forward. I must say to you, from my side, as far as water is concerned, I'm not quite interested in other things. But on the side of water, I must tell you, if treasury and government doesn't make the political decision that the money we decide in the national pie should be put aside for water, must go to spending on water system. If we do not make that political decision, I want to say now publicly here, I predict as far as water infrastructure is concerned, where water boards play a role, that the president's plan around infrastructure will not work. It will fall flat. I've been in this sector now for 2-3 years, haven't I? 18 months. And thank you for being, obviously you count the day. I must tell you there's one thing that I am absolutely clear in my mind, absolutely clear, that if you give money, you pour it into an ailing institution, and you ask the ailing institution, please make rational decisions. By me saying it, I think you should know that why this is not succeeding, because it can't. I mean, if Teddy Ben and the others, Bushbuck Ridge and LaFella and so on, if they just get deeper and deeper into the trouble and we pour problems deeper and deeper into those problems, then you know what's going to happen. The only solution is going to be we're going to rationalize the water board. I can see what's going to happen. We're going to rationalize these water boards, we're going to create new ones. We're going to hope that we create better viability for them in terms of how we create them. But the pool from where we take will be the same size. So the problem is going to remain exactly the same. And if we do not change two things, the formula of spending, if Treasury does not get the, oh, I almost use the wrong word now, man, if they don't get tough as they used to be and change how we spend on water, and number two, if we don't from now on say that if we want to spend money on infrastructure for water and we create one project for it, so if a Tumgeni is doing it in the rural areas of wherever, and the municipality there also has to put in 5 months, you have to do the plan as a whole. So you have to, you do the execution, you don't take anything away from the municipality. You do the planning together, so that we say we're going to do this as a priority, we're going to do this, and then you take the funding and you say this funding will go for that. If we don't get there, then only Ungeni and Rand will be viable, and the others will just get worse and worse. We need Treasury to seriously tell us why it is we can't change it, and why we have to now be polite now to move one step forward. We now break it up so that the public can see we're giving this amount for water. But in the end of the day, as I tell you, that is just pie in the sky. Because when I go on the ground, when Pete Matebe goes on the ground, when Gareth Morgan goes on the ground, people don't say, but in the municipal equitable share, there's now a thing said water. Why didn't you spend on the water? All they do is they say to the Department of Water, why is there no water here? They're not interested in knowing that the money should have been spent by the municipality, that it was given to them. They don't care about that. They want water. And we are not changing the way we operate in government to make it work for them. I must be honest. When people ask me, I just say, we have made decisions in the past which are wrong. The decision to give this money to the municipalities as an equitable share will never work. They will never spend the money on that, particularly when they're ailing their municipalities, and therefore, we're not going to do it. So if we do not change those decisions, listen, you know, in our budget, the water budget, we now got those three items. I mean, you can't believe how excited we were when we saw that Treasury, for the first time, announced that take this money and let's give it to someone that can spend it and who we can hold accountable. In those areas, we didn't say to the municipality, we know you're dysfunctional, so here's money, so please do this. We said, give it to a structure that is functional, and then the dysfunctional one will work with them and we make sure the project takes place. Why aren't we doing that for the whole budget? All right. Can we go to the next slide? There's some movement, but very trepidatious and fearful. Right, next one, conclusion.
Conclusions have been made. We covered the issues around the debt and the debt resolution. To reiterate the point that regardless who you give the money to, there will still be issues around who should pay for the water that is billed but not used, for example, or is through illegal connections, or is historical use, for example. So the issues around the debt, regardless of whether we pay the water board or not, those issues are fundamentally contractual issues that will continue to occur. The larger water boards, whilst they're reporting healthy profitability, there are cash flow concerns. Tariffs need to cover operations and maintenance costs to ensure assets are maintained and rehabilitated before it's too late and they have to be completely replaced. Financing for capital expansion is critical for those water boards who are operating on the margin. And I think that's also issues around capital expenditure, which is through the conditional grants, being the municipal infrastructure grants or the regional bulk infrastructure grants, or through water phases departmental budget. And then just the outstanding issues from water phases side is particularly the pricing strategy review, the institutional realignment and reform, and the legislative review are the three top priorities we believe for the water board and their sector to be resolved in order to move forward. Thank you.
I
would
put another
slide
there. The
Okay, I must just say, again, as Treasury usually does, this is an excellent input in terms of pulling together a whole lot of stuff for us. So I want to firstly say to Treasury, thanks for the hard work. There's only one issue that we disagree on, and that is the issue of how we fund it. But in terms of your input, this is really, really worthwhile and for us to have to be able to understand the sector. So thank you very much. I deeply appreciate that. This is the picture. Mr. Machi, will you just add some of your issues there? I see you've also got some of those. Maybe you give us better news on the formula. Maybe you've now changed some of your views since you've given your input there.
Thank you very much, the Honorable Chair. In fact, what my colleague did was to focus on the specific section of the water value chain, which is the water board. And now what this slide is doing is looking at the whole value chain to help us understand that when we deal with water boards, we mustn't forget that there are other upstream effects, and downstream effects which must be taken into account. So while we're looking at different funding models, in fact, this is the slide I was talking about, the Honorable Chair, that we are actually exploring many ways of funding the projects in the water value chain. And the critical part is that if you look at the upstream effect, the decisions that we make at the national level to finance the capital infrastructure project will automatically affect the end user tariff. For example, if we decide to finance it through the loan, the tariff will not be the same as the case whereby we finance it directly from government. Which means, if you look at the poor areas like in the Kukuna, and then you use the loan funding model, for example, that's compared to the situation whereby the government contributes a major percentage, the tariff will be different. So the decision that we take at the top will automatically affect the water board and end up affecting the end user. Then the other thing that we're looking at is how do we make use of water boards with capacity to assist us in dealing with capital infrastructure projects at the end. So the example of the project that the chair is referring to, the three projects that we refer to is one of the examples that we want to ensure that the department takes leadership in terms of driving water, irrespective of whether it's at the municipal level or at the other side. What they will be doing is to guide the municipalities or support them, or even take accountability in terms of the allocation that has been made, even though it's meant for municipalities. And then, if you can go to the next one. This one is just showing the water value chain and how we look at using various institutions like water boards or municipalities with capacity to implement infrastructure projects, and also to a greater extent looking at how that will affect the end user tariff. The next one. And this is just highlighting the challenges depending on the municipality's capacity and also the maintenance issues that were mentioned. What we are trying to establish is where is actually the problem? Because what municipalities do, it's easy to move from the old infrastructure, instead of rehabilitating and optimizing the operation of that infrastructure, if they want the new infrastructure, which is more expensive. And the reason why we find ourselves with the challenge is because rehabilitation and optimization requires skills. And that skills, normally you don't have it in the municipal environment. That's why now we'll say, how, if you have got a water board in that specific area, how do you bring them on board to assist in terms of they can get into a service level agreement with the municipality to take over operation and maintenance to ensure that whatever goes in there, the infrastructure does not get into a bad state. And if you remember last time, one thing that we mentioned was the infrastructure use program. It's also time to address that capacity problem. In the short term, while we're using water positive capacity, in the long term, we're building that capacity within the municipality so that they can take over, take care of the infrastructure. The next one. The last one. What we are saying is that since the water board is sitting in the middle, and the decisions that we take at the national level in terms of financing the project, either via through debt or direct appropriation from the system, there is a need for regulation. And what we'll be focusing on is the tariff, and also looking at the capital unit charges normally set by the CPA when they raise funds from the market to finance some of the projects. That's my briefing. Thank you.
Can we adjourn for 5 minutes so you can go to small little places and have some tea? We'll come back after. Take a pick of those refers to the municipality because you pick what you do with the money here. So that they're quite clear on now. They very firmly agree to that. So the only place they still just have to move a little bit is on the area of operational costs and the water board. And already there they're going a step forward. As you see, they're already putting it in the documentation so the public can see it. But as I pointed out, it is no work whatsoever to the public. Because when you the public engages with the municipality to say, but why didn't you spend the money on water? That doesn't solve the problem. They still haven't spent it on what they had to spend it. Even if the public do engage them on it, because they now know that money should have gone there. What we need is a mechanism that actually has an enforcement value to it. That's what we need. And then, of course, all the others. Because, I mean, as I said, there are very few people that... in fact, the other day, it was funny, we were sitting in a meeting where everyone, even the people that are responsible to do something, were blaming the department. And the department staff member just said, but all the things you said now is your responsibility to find it. Oh, you know. But that's how it works. You see, I mean, we sometimes don't even know that we're doing the things that are incorrect when we actually ourselves are doing it incorrectly. So it does seem that the Treasury has gone quite a bit in that direction, and I am told that they are feeling strong to just go the last few steps on it. Okay, so I just wanted to summarize that. Now we quickly, as we do, we always take SAGA also before we look at the water board so they can raise where they see. As I said to them, the issue of the tariff, if I have to be quite honest with you, these hearings are about tariffs, but even us, we don't really say much about the tariff because in law, I think the legal framework is wrong. Because in law, even the minister can't do much about the tariff. Minister hasn't got the power to say, you won't do this, you will do this. He hasn't got more moral persuasion. So the issues really are, and particularly what I want to hear from SAGA, is where does the system, we know there are a whole lot of things that don't work for SAGA when it comes to water. But from their perspective, where are they having difficulties and how do you fix the system up? That's more what I want to hear with them, and we ask them every year. Because what we then do, we go and engage the minister and say, but what about this? SAGA is having difficulties with this. So if you look at the paper, I suggested that SAGA actually start on page 20 for us, because that's when they come with their recommendations. But over to you. Welcome, SAGA. Thank you. The document is handed out. Please look at all the pages, but let's concentrate on the part that they're going to deal with. Thank you, sir. Over to you.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Although I had discussed with you that some people would miss the context and they might not embrace where we come from in terms of this recommendation, but nevertheless,
I have full faith they understand the context.
Okay. If you say so, Chair, let me continue. Some of the recommendations, we've got about six issues that we'd want to raise as recommendations for consideration. And the first one relates to, you know, capital investment program. We did hear earlier on, Chairperson, that there have been under expenditure in terms of CapEx. And maybe, and it's a thought that's coming to my mind now, that if there's under expenditure, the portion of the CapEx for that financial year should be ring-fenced, and maybe potentially could be used to pay off the debt, or we could use it for other purposes, because that money would have been paid for that time by customers.
The other part of that is, I've told when I asked Ms. Toko, did you go and check every single project they want to put under the tariff? We've also put a duty on the department from now on to go and check the projects that they're asking tariff increases for, that it is in fact a project that's funded all along. Because as we found with Ngeni last year, they ask for tariff increases, but all those projects don't come in fruition because the municipalities haven't got their projects done. So we've asked exactly what you're saying. To try and avoid that, we put a responsibility on the department to make sure that those projects exist, are funded, and are properly processed. But that's just to add as a further balance of what you're saying.
But Chair, I think we need to take that seriously because over the years, we've seen a number of water boards charging our members for CapEx, and it doesn't happen, doesn't it? And so we'd want to ask the department to really exercise some control when it comes to that fund. Another issue, Chair, that I'd like to raise, and the department raised it as well, is issues relating to effective management of expenses. We have observed that in some respects, there isn't any what we define as being benchmarked to say, you know, how do you start regulating your expenses, whether you're going beyond or you're going under when it comes to expenses. I mean, clearly from the department's presentation, it has been highlighted there has been a 15% increase on operational costs. Is that an acceptable norm, or it's not? It's something that we really need the department to look into going forward. The third one that I'd like to raise, Chair, relates to the tariff policies, and I think there is work underway, Chair, we need to indicate when it comes to the whole issue of the funding model, the investment frameworks, and my earlier slides would have talked to this, that at least there is some progress that has been made, and we really need to give credit to the department when it comes to this. The fourth one, Chair, that we'd want to suggest as a recommendation looks at treasury management, and that's the money part when it comes to your access to capital funding, subsidies, and all those kind of things. And really, Chair, this whole subsidy mechanism to water boards does become imperative going forward. And we've made this noise for some time, and I think we'd want it to see the light at the end of the tunnel. But over and above that, we're basically saying you know, there could be potential, and I'm using this word deliberately, potential to look at funding mechanisms between water boards themselves, rather than going to the market. They might say, if a particular water board has X amount of surpluses, and the next door water board needs to go raise money from the market, I mean, there could be that potential borrowing within the sector itself before we actually go to the market. But it's something that we'll have to look at how that will be operationalized. But it's something that we think could be of value add in terms of the funding of infrastructure. Yeah, I mean, the tariff determination process, I'm not going to go into too much detail about it. Last year you gave us some marching orders to say...
What, you know, you heard this whole debate we have. I know it's a bit sensitive because of the different views of Solda. But... this issue about getting a better funding model, one that actually ensures that money that the country has agreed must go to water actually goes to water. What are Sagar's views on that? Because clearly, amongst your members, it's not happening. I mean, in those municipalities where we're having problems with the debt, which covers Sedibeng, Lepelele, and those, they are not doing that. They're taking the money and spending it on a whole host of other things. What is your feeling, what is your views of Sagar about us getting a better model here? I see your point four does deal with a better model.
Look, I mean, we've let me put it to you this way. We were excited when Dora gave an indication in terms of how much money should go in towards sanitation. I think that's something that Sagar welcomes. The difficulty is the mechanics, as we've indicated, to implement that, and it's more of a fiscal framework approach, not necessarily from the Sagar's point of view or from the municipality's point of view. And I'd like to respond in that fashion that we need a bigger engagement in terms of how to get some of the systems caught up, because that money is also used for operation and maintenance. And you and I would know that in some respects, some of our municipal infrastructure is not properly maintained. So the whole...
But you will agree, your municipalities owe us now 1.6 to the water board, 1.6 billion.
Yeah.
Those are only some municipalities, not all of them.
Yeah.
There are a lot of municipalities that do the right thing, they spend it on the right thing. You will agree with me, surely, that those municipalities that are not doing it, that we have to find a way to ensure that they do it. Because it's unfair for the other municipalities to act properly and do the right thing, but those municipalities don't.
Chair, I would, I mean, and maybe it's not the Sagar view, but I mean, I would really appreciate or favor an approach that is uniform, rather than just look at specific areas served by water boards. That kind of approach is uniform, rather than, dissected into...
And I fully agree. I don't suggest anything else.
Yeah.
But what I am saying is that you cannot be defending those that are not doing it.
Yeah, look, I mean,
when they get the money for it, they don't do it, but you guys and the other municipalities do it. That clearly is just wrong.
Yeah, I mean, if something is wrong, it's wrong. We're not going to defend the wrong.
No, thanks a lot.
Okay.
Then we were on the tariff setting. Okay, let's go.
I mean, I think I've spoken a lot about the tariff. The only difficulty that we have, Chair, that we need to indicate, and we've had some discussions with the department, is the issue of feedback to Sagar. And even the submission that we prepared to the minister, we don't get an indication in terms of writing from the ministry or from the department in terms of whether we're out of order in terms of what we prepared or whatever the case might be. So we want to emphasize that when it comes to the tariff determination.
Okay, why don't we at least respond to, even if we say we don't agree or we've taken your views into account, just proper decency to at least engage people that are part of the process. Why don't we at least respond to them?
It took longer from our side and from the ministry office, but something that we...
But it's common decency. Look, if you say minister is going to look at the tariff and give her a view on it, and you ask Sagar, what is your view on this, then it's decent just to give a response to them. Say, we've seen what you've said, we've looked at it, we've particularly noted your concern about the high cost of electricity being added. Whatever. I mean, I don't know what you people do, but surely that should be done. I mean, if you want Sagar to take the job seriously, they only take it seriously if you take them seriously. And if you don't respond to them, they don't know if you're taking them seriously. They don't even know if you read their input. That must be rectified immediately. It mustn't happen ever again, okay? Please, let's not let that happen again. I mean, this is a valuable partner in the chain. Must treat them with respect and as if they are a valuable partner. You may disagree with them, but that doesn't mean you mustn't respect that they've given input in the process. Okay?
And Chair, the the same applies to some of the water boards. I need to indicate here up front that I mean, from a Southwest perspective, we do enjoy working with Rainwater in this instance, because there's a lot of engagement that really happens. We give them our comments, their response, and where there's areas of disagreement, we meet and we talk through those issues. So I think we need to follow a
similar model. Which boards are problematic?
Well, I mean, so far we only had four responses. Rent did respond, Citibank did respond, Bloom Water did respond, and we have chosen.
And the rest of the others, but the others. Now, again, it's unacceptable, you see, that even if we, I mean, I don't have to, when I respond, it's not because I agree with you. I respond because I respect that you have a view, and that view I must take into consideration. So I can respond that I disagree, but you must respond. Those water boards that didn't, the eight, we're going to ask you, we must already get your answers ready. I'm serious. If the legislator in their wisdom decided this is the process we're going to follow and these are the roadways, then that was done for a reason. We must respect each other's roles in that process. And again, I'm very upset if I hear that, that we haven't used the courtesy or even what disagree with someone. Okay.
And here, I'm not too sure whether in terms of section 42D of the MFMA, it does say that during this process of tariff, respective water boards and the departments need to demonstrate how they've taken our comments into account. And I'm saying, if there isn't that demonstration, does that constitute an offense or not? I'm not a lawyer, but I think we'll probably be seeking legal advice on that.
Yeah, I don't know what the law says. If it reads what you said, it sounds very funny.
Yeah. But I'm saying that.
Because, I mean, it's because it says. I'm just saying. If it says you must demonstrate that you've taken my view into consideration, that's really upsetting.
Well, I mean, I'm not using the
words,
but all it says, Kelly, there needs to be, maybe the word demonstration is the wrong English word.
I think the fact that they're not answering you,
yeah.
If you want the best indication that they're not taking you seriously, because they haven't answered you.
But I'm not sure.
If they answered you and said, we disagree, then it's clear that they've looked at your views, or they agree or disagree. But if eight of them don't, and the department doesn't respond to you, then at least nine entities in the process didn't demonstrate that they have at least read your submission and disagree or agree with it. Now, that's what the law would expect at the very, very least. At the very least, I mean, if someone has to take a... If law gives me powers to make a decision, and it says I must take certain people's views into consideration, it means I must look at those views, I must consider them, and then I can make my... I don't have to agree with those views, but I can make my own decision, but I must do those. By the fact that nine entities here are not writing back to Saga, that is not for Saga an indication, well, I'm not sure whether you've actually taken our business into consideration, because you've not told us one way or the other if you agree or disagree. So that's where the problem lies, Mr. Opal. If the problem lies by you guys not responding, if they then want to take it further legally and so on, they're going to be in a much stronger footing. If you wrote and said, we've looked at your views, we don't agree, then that in law is all that is expected from you. But when you don't answer, then a ugly presumption starts developing that your people have not considered their views. Okay? So that is where that part comes.
All right. Okay, and that, colleagues, and this is, yeah, I mean, this has some ramifications because obviously from where we're sitting at Salva, we analyze this proposal. We put them through some structures, and there is, you know, disagreements in terms of some of the proposed tariffs, and it goes to a national executive committee. And obviously, if the minister approves certain tariffs and Saudi says certain tariffs, there is potential of conflict and dispute. And I'm not saying that's the route that Saudi would take. Would obviously take back the revised tariffs and present them back to our constituency, and we'll take it from there. The last one here relates to implementation in terms of demand planning. that we kind of want to suggest a kind of, and we call it a centralized water demand planning, to be established, and looking at a centralized cash management function and within the sector. Yeah, and that's the concept.
Centralized cash management function, what does that mean?
Well, it means that, I think I have indicated this before, that you look at water boards coming together to say, if in this water board sector we've got X amount of money and the water board next door needs X amount of money for infrastructure development.
As you said, we should look at that, but that's more difficult. What we do is, I know we sometimes ask Rand Water to go, for example, to help in Bushbuck Ridge and so on, to sort out their problems. That definitely does happen. But to get the other functions, we'll have to look at that. But that's just a proposal.
Okay. Thanks. That gives us a good idea of the issues that affect Salga. Again, for me, it's unacceptable that where there are consultation processes, that we are not respecting those processes by actually making sure that everyone, in fact, I said this last year, I'm just repeating again what certain people haven't listened to. And that is that if there's consultation processes, Salga will be quite justified, we hope they never do it, but quite justified to start taking legal action if we're not respecting the processes and responding to them. Because what we're then indicating to them is that, well, we've not considered their view. Whereas if you respond to them and properly engage them, and even the suggestions they make, like Rand Water, goes a step further and actually then engages them on the things that they disagree to see if they're done. That is your constitutional duty under Chapter 3 in the Constitution, which is the one on, what is it called? Cooperative government. Cooperative government is a constitutional principle in this country. Those 8 water boards and the department that didn't respond to Salga are clearly not complying with those obligations. Topo, I don't want to hear this problem again. This is a basic issue. And I don't want to repeat this for the third time next year, if I'm still here. You got it? Okay. All right. Those are the 3 general inputs we take beforehand to give us some understanding of what we're going to engage the water board with. Most of these issues we'd want to ask the water board, but if any of the members want to ask some specific issues that any of the 3 inputs have raised, please go ahead, Mr. Mateta.
Thank you, sir. Honorable members, my first question is directed to the treasurer. I just want to know if whether have all water boards complied with the PFMA requirement of submitting monthly reports on municipal debt payments. And if yes, has there been an instance where intervention was requested from the treasurer? If no, which are those that did not comply? Second, the Pelham Drift Water Board agreed with the Koi-Kamorak municipality to increase their tariffs by 20% annually in order to bring them in line with the cost. Now, I just want to get clarity whether does this apply to all sectors, or is there a special arrangement for the poor? Firstly, sir, they said that there is a delay in signing service level agreement between the Bush Patrick Water Board and the municipality. So what is the reason behind it? Is it because of these internal problems within the municipality of not having water meters or digital connections or what? And have the department of the treasury tried to make some intervention in this regard? And what is the product of that intervention if they were paying? Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Dr. Kwan?
Thank you, Mr. President. I think we just Dalga Bodhisattva is the presentation here. Because the Bodhisattva hasn't got the power to control the order in this part. I fully understand that, because it is allocated all the parties in order from the Bodhisattva. From the your presentation, this incompetent care for the water. For your presentation, this one is 2013, 14, 15. But your total, I see that your total is quite wrong. I don't know how you can answer this total. And also from the your case in 19, regarding for waterfall with unused financial capacity. I think from this last water, you say high level of cash, 89 million. I don't know where you get this amount, 89 million, because if you from the COCO, this presentation, it's a this there is a stored area for the Bronx municipality is 0.5 billion rate. Then they increase the cost, from your detail, is from chemical, to increase the cost. So we are around for the 3-4 municipalities, the big area. So the question is from the chairperson also asking, how is this many municipalities, only this few waterfall under control for this municipality, this area? Then I say example, if this area is 0.5 billion rand, then you say every month they pay the every month, pay per month. Take example, you say it's a bush box bridge. There is a pay the every, you say pay the every month. But the area is 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, 120 days. Even the 120 days, 4 months, they already area for 238 million rand. I don't know how they can pay the every month for the 1 million, 2 million, 3 million. They have to budget. So I think he's quite concerned. Last year we also asked him this question, how you can allocate for this payment that is stated from this municipality. And I think it's after we want to listen to the every waterfall, your annual report. Because I want to know how you can control all the budget. And how you utilize and utilize this financial capacity. So from the trade side, I think it's a committee secretary give up this revised book, this water tariff, 2013. I think it is this LAC for the approval tariff and there is increase the percentage. I don't know this one is right or the trade your presentation is right.
This one is right.
Yeah, so
the electricity increase was less.
No, the I just say the inside the target inside the figure is wrong. Because if we see the last one, in gaining this water is 6.1%. But from the national treasury
presentation,
it's
16.1%. Treasury said that
not to see those new tariffs. So they will be different.
Okay, all right. So then I think from the presentation here, this operation cost, which is 15% higher than the budget. I don't understand why it's higher than the budget, the 15%. It's operation cost. Then your general expenses. Your general expense is over the 800 million, but your budget is only for 80 million. Your budget is only 80 million, how you utilize for the 800 million? This one I want to know why. Then is some money used to the bonus. I need to know this detail, because this one is quite a big difference. Your budget is only 80 million, say how you can spend the 800 million. I don't understand. So I think it's after heavily the water falls, I think we can just get the more detail. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for the presentation. And just to ask you just one query on the particular issue regarding the cost of sales, which is 17% less.
this year. However, the chemicals and purification costs are 21.75% higher. Now, if we have realized the 70% sales as estimated in the budget, surely those chemicals and purification costs have increased and have been over budget by over 30%. That says something about the kind of budgeting that's being done. I'd like to have a clarity on it. How do we do the budgeting if we can't get those basic figures right? Further to that, the secondary activities that the Water Board has mentioned. I'd like to know what those secondary activities are, because I think that the Water Board should have a primary activity and they should stick to that instead of engaging in all sorts of other things that they are not.
Usually, municipal funds. Water Board in some areas have taken over some municipal funds and they start performing it. Some Water Boards, I think, like for shallow, they almost only perform secondary funds. So that's really what it is. It's really them doing some of the municipal functions. Obviously different ones, but that's how I usually understand.
Okay, so that's the one. The tariffs, I'd like to know the reason for such a high cost of the tariffs for city and water. I'm also happy to see that DORA has coming in now with the sectoral allocation, but that can be only as good as an effective as the administrative body and also the oversight responsibility that's going to be attached to that. I'm a bit disappointed, I have to say, in SAGA for not addressing the issue of the repayment of the outstanding debt by municipalities. I was very much looking forward to hearing how they're going to assist, and especially the Water Board, that all that money is outstanding, but we haven't heard anything from their side regarding that. I'm very concerned about the writing of debt. We have heard that Kelly Bang and Bush Bakrich have already written off debt. That our president has been created. Are all the other outstanding debt going to be written off now, and the Water Boards are going to be short with the outstanding almost 2 billion rand debt to the Water Boards by the municipalities, because I wouldn't like to see that. The equitable share, although it's unconditional, should be made conditional, as we were debating earlier on, because there are mechanisms in which way it can be controlled. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much.
Can I just ask again, when there are questions that are specific to Water Board, keep it for the Water Board, okay? Because only they can answer, Treasury can't answer. They can just answer the general answer.
Thank you very much, Chair. Even questioning the presenter about the information that we are getting, I was just maybe saying to the Department of Water, saying because the effectiveness of the Water Board relies solely on the capacity and the skills that the board members are having. In this instance, this is the Water Board assisting in terms of when the board members are being elected, or is that, as I want to know, if the Water is the one that's giving authority that these members are the right ones. Don't you look into the different skills when they bring their CVs? The other one is cut across to the that one of the municipality. I heard that the department, they did mention that the minister did have one-on-one with the mayor. But I was just saying, even if they got the one-on-one with mayor, the issue here is this one of the equitable share. Even although we can give the municipality the money and monitor that, this money should go direct to the water issue. It won't assist, because some of the municipalities, I don't know if you have looked into the issue of the rural, because some of the municipalities, the money end up not giving the water to the people, but only trying to can augment the infrastructure. So I was just thinking if we can look deeper into that, even the as you can look into that issue, because in all the things when we look at the issue is all only surrounded at this equitable debt. I get the money like it takes, you know, or like Darren get the money. You find that I can't even be able to project money where I spend. So I want to know if you don't look into those kind of issues. Thank you.
Thank you. Let me just request Shalka to unpack a little bit more about their role on municipalities, particularly on the payment of services to water boards and the department. Secondly, when municipalities are having problems with water boards, signing agreements and so on, I should think Shalka must unpack that. Because Shalka is a legal structure that is composed out of different municipalities. And Shalka is able to represent those municipalities when tariffs are going up and other issues. But I want to hear more really on their role on this matter that I address. Thank you.
Mr. Morgan?
Let me say thank you very much for the presentation, particularly from the department and from the Treasury, which were very instructive. I think there's been some benefit from the department and the Treasury appearing before the committee a number of times on this issue, because the presentation was very, very clear, and what I expect there is some anticipation as well from those entities about what we as a committee want from these presentations. So, certainly been the best presentations over the last 3 years. But that's not a comment on whether I think everything is going well or not. It's just merely a comment that there's a good sense that you know what is going on yourself, and that to a large degree there are some recommendations and a lot of thought has been that have gone into already or already in implementation. So thank you for that. I appreciate it. I'm not to ask you, it's a question of the department. I'm not asking you to preempt the process, but I do think it's important for you to let the committee in a little bit more about what is going on behind the scenes with regards to the study into water boards. I'm sure at the right point you'll come and present that, but you can't simply drop it into a conversation here with us and leave it there. What are you studying? I gather work about rationalizing water boards and some options there around. And that's, you know, mail may not be good. I don't want to call it an American with it. But I'm interested in what you're doing and the timeline for that and those kind of things. I think those are the kind of things you can certainly tell us now as a committee. With regards to the purification and chemical costs, which you yourself said in your presentation that you're about 21.8% there and thereabouts. I find it's an interesting, of course, because there are certain things which the water boards just have to accept. One of them is that they buy, you know, raw water from the department. And the cost of purification would increase, I guess, with two main drivers. One is the actual cost of the chemicals, and two, the quality of the water that they are buying from the actual department. Now, it's the department's role, I would argue, as the regulator, to make sure that the quality of water in the water courses themselves, from which you draw, are of an acceptable standard. It's you who license with regards to quality of discharge back into our water courses. And the main drivers of poor quality water in our water courses are, among other things, failing wastewater treatment plants, certainly in the Gauteng and the Mpumalanga acid mine drainage, but also fertilizers from agricultural runoff. So, if the regulator is not doing his job or her job, making sure that the quality of water being discharged is good enough, you're actually just passing that cost on in some form to the water board, and hence to the end user, somewhere or another, the water board sell on to municipalities. What is your response there too? Because actually, what you're effectively doing is externalizing the cost of poor raw water on certain people. And the other thing, of course, is that it has regional peculiarity. And so there is a fairness there. Because you should be maintaining, the one thing you should be maintaining, the quality of water somewhat similar everywhere in South Africa. And it's a problem for water boards, and I know water boards have raised this with us as a risk, particularly water boards from the northern areas of South Africa. The cost of purification, they are highlighting is something that is going up. So I want the department's response. The water boards can only deal with what they have. If the water coming in is not a suitable quality, I mean, I guess it never is, if you want to avoid and supply some purification process, that's your response. And I'm going to ask some of the questions to the water board as well on this. Because, you know, if the quality of water is not such a good example, then of course that should affect the price then you are selling that water to the water board. So I'll look for your attention.
You didn't give us information about the financial management of the water board. For example, whether they've got qualified or unqualified reports and all that kind of stuff. Why didn't you give us that information? But lazy. No, because you know this is to help us prepare and be ready for them. But now you didn't give us the information around financial management. Then it means we have to now, on our own, try and find what the truth is when we engage in the water board. But you need to give us in future information about the financial management. Because as I said now, we heard one year, Ms. Haskell told us of one of them that had a qualified report. I can't even remember which one. But you see what I'm trying to say? We don't have that information in front of us for all the boards. But that's fine. Could you start answering all the questions around the department, and then we'll go to Treasury and cut them down to Stoga?
Thank you very much, Chair. I think we will certainly...
Sorry, can you just... Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I see you guests here. Hello.
Hello.
This is the Committee on Water and Environment. Water and environment, very important issue. So, we've got the Water Board here today. And we're seeing how good they are operating or not, so that's the work we're doing. So very welcome in Parliament. I hope you enjoy your stay today. Thank you. Okay, sorry, Michael.
Thank you, Chair. I will circulate the table around the financial status of all water boards. Out of the 12, 10 got unqualified audit reports.
10?
Yes. And then with Bozelo got a qualified disclaimer, and Mahalis got a qualified report, and then Libele got only the emphasis of matter, but 10 got so we did well.
You said Bozelo and Lapela?
Bozelo and Mahalis.
Mahalis.
Yes.
Okay.
We are going to split the questions. The financial questions will be handled by Tammy. And our leader here will deal with the issues of Mr. Morgan around the regulation of water quality. In terms of the government issues, Honorable Ofadeh, the minister appoints the members of the board. And in terms of the process, the minister will set up a panel to deal with the selection panel, and we advertise it in national newspapers, and we look for, it's mainly an expert-based board, so we look for skills in the board. The chief executive of the board currently participates in the process, but we are in the process of changing the whole process, and we will be consulting
with the portfolio committee around the new procedure of appointing board for board members.
We never know.
And the issue of also raised by Mr. Morgan on the institutional realignment around the regionalization of water boards. Chair, we just plead with the committee that we should not reveal what is on the draft report until the minister pronounces on it. She requested that she is the one that is going to pronounce on it. Yes, but the process, yes, I think we are almost at the final stages. The project should be finalized by end of June. And we have made some preliminary recommendations to the minister. So we will come back to the process. In terms of the issue of the tariff of Mungeni water, I think Honorable over there was right, because we said the tariff increased 6.1%. There is a component which is, we discussed it last year, which is related to the Spring Grove dam, the capital charge for the Spring Grove dam. And it makes the total tariff increase to be 16.1%. But we separated it because, remember, it's in Mungeni water, which is 6.1, and the other one is related to the capital, which is mainly the TCTA charge. So this is why we separated the two, because last year it contributed some confusion, and it has also been on the media around the Mungeni water service. If I can ask Debra to deal with the regulation and planning with the finance.
Thank you, Chair, Honourable House. The House will recall that we did report that we have increased our focus on regulation. So we have increased on compliance monitoring and enforcement. We are dealing with legacy issues, as you would know, the AMD issues. We are dealing with non-point sources as well, which are a bit difficult to control and to manage, but we are dealing with those. And we also are looking and emphasizing on the issue of the polluter pays principle in one project or program called the waste discharge system that has been delayed. Unfortunately, there were unforeseen circumstances there, but we are getting there. So it's not like we're not aware that there are other citizens or other institutions that are getting the grant of permission, but it should be understood that we are dealing with the matter in various ways.
Yes, Chair. I will start with the issue of the tariff process. Yes, as we instructed last year that we need to increase the level of us being able to evaluate and review the tariff that we are receiving from all water boards, and which we've done it through attending all the consultations that were happening across the country. But what has happened in addition to that, if I may go on, Chair, was on the basis that we had sat in a meeting where Treasury had presented this tariff and also concerns that they had raised to the different water boards, which we had noted all of those. With that being said, we did receive a number of comments that came through from all different water boards regarding the questions that Usanga asked. And forward to that, we did have a discussion with our institutions on the analysis, whereby we called them to a room one by one, which was a two-week process, whereby they took us through a tariff process. And while we are not happy with the tariff, we did send them back to go review the tariff and present what we believe is amicably the right tariff. And by doing that, they did also respond to some of the questions that Sanka asked. Followed by that, because we were supposed to have a meeting inviting Usanga and National Treasury, Sanka did propose to us that how about we have this meeting at their beautiful venue compared to us since we don't have it in the party.
They didn't pay for that menu with the money that you
spend on water infrastructure.
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
So we did have a discussion. They presented, we presented our view, we presented the tariff, what are we going to propose to the minister. And I believe that was the process that was that we did prior to us submitting to the minister, taking into everybody's concern. And I think most of the water board will agree with that process. But we did say, Putin. Yes.
It sounds so nice when you say you've done all these things. Why do you keep it secret to yourself?
It is not
if you just put it in a letter to say we've gone through these processes, we've taken to your consideration, we've had a meeting with Saga, we told Saga all the problems you have, we then called all the water boards in one at a time to consult. You just put that in a letter and send it to Saga, then they said that they can't come and raise anything next year. Instead of 6 points, they're going to only have 2 points next year. Yes, did all your nice things.
Yeah. Maybe it was because of, I took it on that aspect of the relations with our two sides.
No, you guys must communicate on this.
Okay, no, we'll do that.
No, you're doing all the nice stuff, you don't communicate.
Okay.
Ah, no one knows you did it. Only, now suddenly I hear it today.
All right, no, it's fine, so no sense. The minutes, but if all those meetings we did, the minutes that were taken. But now, in moving forward, having to respond to the question on the financial aspect, more especially on the drivers of tariffs, as I had alluded, for example, you will find the booty. When you look at the blue water, when it comes to the issue of the chemical cost and so forth, some of the drivers that affect some of these institutions, it's not a matter of where do they get the water from so that it can reach the sea, and where they have to purify it and clean it. And you tend to find the cost that they put, for example, they made an example where they say the water that they put, if it's in a tube, in an average of two, and when it arrives down the street, they only will receive one. But I would like blue water maybe to elaborate on that one, so that you can have a clarity and an understanding what influence or what drives the number of costs. And on the operational cost and also on the profit, each and every water board will present, and somehow they present it, you will be able to speak to where and which water board tend to have all these costs that have contributed, because we are giving you a consolidated picture. So you will be able to pick it up from the individual water board. And they will also present on their outcome, of the audit outcome. Thank you, Chair.
The next time you give me all that financial management information. Don't forget again. Okay. Oh, a lot of these questions you can follow up with each water board again, okay? If you have them. All right. Treasury?
I think my colleague will add in on the MSMA process in terms of the monthly monitoring. In terms of tentative tariff, just to note that this is the bulk water tariff. It's not the tariff that's set by the municipality. So the poor consumers are... that's where the municipality sets the block tariff, and the municipality then is subsidized for poor consumers. The high increase in the petitive tariff is because the mining operations heavily subsidize the water costs. And with the coming possible closure of the mine, there would be a massive increase in water if the mine was not there. So the process is to have the increase in the tariff. So in the event that the municipality had to pay for their own water and not be subsidized by the mine, they will be able to pay the tariff. It's still a fairly low tariff compared to other bulk water services providers. My colleague will add on the MSMA process. I don't think there were any other questions for sure.
My name is Tanita Costa, National Treasurer. With regard to submission of Section 41 report, at this point in time, we can confirm that indeed all the water boards did submit to us the Section 41 report that reflects payments by municipalities and also areas. In certain instances where a request was made by the water board, we did facilitate meetings between the water board and relevant municipalities. But over and above, we also proactively working together with the provincial treasury, where we see that in terms of the trend regarding areas, it's continuously upward. We also engage accordingly. In terms of the things that also we found in this engagement is that there are issues which
contractual inadequacies between the water board and the municipalities, and in certain instances, some of those agreements have expired, and the parties are still trying to put together a new contract, and hence we said to our colleagues in Dwa that they need to assist in terms of even auditing as to whether the water board have contracts with all municipalities, and just also checking that in the context of the Water Services Act that the conditions are adequate so that in terms of implementation, we kind of prevent the issues of disputes even beforehand. And the water board will speak for themselves whether they have, I'm talking about Bushbuck Ridge, an agreement in place at this point in time. The intervention at Bushbuck Ridge, we did facilitate, Dwa was present, the water board and the municipality, and the outcome thereof, because there were other issues from technical side, Dwa was to assist the municipality to deal with them, especially regarding the issues of the positioning of water meters. But we also agreed in those engagements that the municipality should commit to paying the current account and also a portion of the areas, so that once the technical part is dealt with, then there will be proper reconciliation by the parties, so that going forward, the current account can be honored in full, and also an agreement that covers now the entire outstanding amount, so that that can also be dealt with. Thank you.
The next is your 17 minutes further. Do you want to respond to
it? I think they responded to the third question.
Thank you. On the other side?
Yeah, Chair, there were mainly two questions, very difficult questions I must admit. When it comes to service level agreements, so what we have done is we've developed a model agreement together with the South African Water Association, the umbrella board of water boards, with the objective of making sure that we regularize the partnership or the relationship between water boards and municipalities. And we're hoping, that through that particular process, that municipalities would regularize their water services agreement or provider partnership. In some instances, it's happening, it works well. In some instances, it doesn't work well. So I haven't got a kind of a clear-cut answer, but we do have a process where we've developed that agreement. Yeah, look, when it comes to the role of SARO in terms of payment, it's kind of a difficult one. Because if one looks at our roles, there's four main roles that SARO plays: that of employer, that of representative, that of support and advice, and that of profiler. So among those four key roles, there isn't any specific role that is defined in our business or in a sector in terms of how municipalities should pay for services. However, we do fight for more money municipalities through budget processes, with the understanding that once those bedrocks are won, that municipalities will do the right thing and pay for services that have been consumed. I want to leave it at that. But we've got a specific division within SARO, municipal finance, and we could make a written submission, Chair, on that question in terms of how SARO wants to, going forward, handle or deal with the issue of repayment of service.
Thank you. I think that the three inputs we received today have helped us a lot, or have helped me definitely, and trust has helped my members as well, to understand what the processes are we'll be dealing with the next day and a half. I really want to thank, I really thought the input from the master and her team was an excellent one. I thought the department's input, as Mr. Morgan has said, also is starting to capture the kind of information we need, so we must keep keep on tightening that up. As I said, I think what was missing was the financial management information, but that you can tie up next year. And then from Saga's side, where they fit into the process, I think it was very useful. I do think that, if I have to be honest, there's some issues that clearly the department is busy with through their BPR processes. Probably by next year, there would have been some change that would have taken place. Or at least some proposals to change. Whether we have the same amount of water boards, whether they're bigger or smaller, how they function. I think those are questions that are seriously on the table for next year. And I hope that that's going to help us take some of the problems away. But I think, again, I think the place where change has to take place is in Treasury. And I want to say that I think there's a lot that's happened there since we engaged the first time. I remember the first time I engaged with Mr. Machi, he was trying to give away the whole water sector. Thank you. Thank God for our intervention. He's now a very objective and dispassionate, and I think just the engagement, we've actually made huge strides in. So I think that there's a little bit of tweaking necessary. A few more decisions that are necessary at that level. I know that my committee again are going to instruct me to meet with the Minister of Finance, which I've been trying to do for a long time. He and I just miss each other. But maybe I need to, maybe I can find a nice coffee shop where I can take him one day while he's in the house. But I need to emphasize from the committee side some of the issues I think that already taking place. But I do think there's clearly a lot of movement. I think, Ms. Haskell, those steps you've outlined to fix up the system, I think if you can keep us informed about that, how it's going and whether you're picking up problems and so on, that's important. And then from the other side, Mr. Machi, you can also keep on. I know you attend our meetings in any case, so you will keep us informed on the other processes. So I think that's helped us an enormous amount to already set the scene for what we need to do. And then, of course, it's my view that I think this whole legal framework that exists is not a good one. I think there are huge loopholes in this framework. The mere fact that I think that there's no political head that can actually bite the bullet on some of these things, where some of these things are left to water boards to decide. The minister, as I can see it, doesn't have the legal power to make specific decisions. And there, when you don't do that, it's difficult to solve problems. Because it's difficult to fight for subsidies for water boards where you don't have the final say. So I do think there's some problems with the legal framework. And I know that it's being looked at in the BPR process of the department. So I do see that this is an area where probably in the near future we'll start seeing some legal, some institutional, and some kind of where the finances are concerned, some changes. I do hope so. What's the time? Oh, man, we'll just go short. We'll take the salary now, we don't want to take it down. Right, Randwater. I see Advocate Petlane is the acting chairperson. The main fact is the advocate already creates problems. Mr. Petlane, could you put in for 20 minutes the main areas we want to hear about? And the main areas really are your CAPEX, where you're going with CAPEX, why you've got reserves and what you're doing with them, what are your main cost drivers and why is your salary package so high? Those are your main issues, and then what others you're raising. Is there any others as well? All the other introductions, as I said, about my granny and my mother, keep them. I've already told them that you wish them well. Go for it.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Just an apology for what I said, Petlana. I couldn't make it today. My name is Ivan Cech, I'm the board member.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Okay, just a snapshot. I'm studying on page 4, just in terms of the performance snapshot, and maybe just focusing on one or two issues, because we were asked last year when we were here to talk about how our customers are feeding our service, and we put in here that the overall satisfaction is at 84%. We also have an unqualified audit opinion in with and compliance with all regulations and efforts. In terms of credit ratings, we have been negatively affected because of the negative outlook of the sovereign, and that's the only reason why there's a negative outlook now.
And the sovereign being government?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Being a public entity, we are affected by that as well. The next slide is really about, you asked us a question last year relating to what else are we doing at Rainwater in terms of assisting municipalities and other projects that we're involved with. The first one is the Breckbridge acid mine drainage plant that we're running on behalf of the department, and the positive outlook and experiences that we're picking up from there in terms of helping in Mpumalanga. The next one is our work with MPLA.
You're really running an AMG plant for the department?
Yes, we are. Although it's in
Mpumalanga. I'm aware of this, you know. The department's already got a plant.
Where is this plant? It's in Mpumalanga.
Mpumalanga?
Yes.
Hmm. Hey, this department can hide things away well.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no... Talk about secrecy. This department's got a real fine. Hey, you come... People give input. Yeah, you hear amazing things that you never knew this department had. But okay.
Okay.
Go ahead.
The next one is just our work with them, and because of the time constraint, this is just highlighting the work that we're doing with different municipalities in terms of assisting, whether it's with their wastewater treatment plant or actually assisting them on bulk sanitation and some work we are doing on just normal water purification. So slide 6 is just a table of what we're doing outside our area with other municipalities. And then the next one on page 7 is just about...
Don't see you've got bush buggeries there. Why not? I thought you're helping with them trying to sort out those problems where everyone uses water but no one pays in bush buggeries.
Chairperson,
aren't you busy helping them?
We are, but there's been some issues with the department and the National Treasury on this particular issue. We went in to start assisting them, and the previous acting DG decided to pull the funds and use them elsewhere. So we were busily negotiating in terms of us being able to do that. So currently we are working with them, but we had to step aside in line with the PFNA.
Ooh, the pop-up now. Go ahead, we'll ask them. We'll ask the department why they did this when we get to Bush Buggeries.
And the on page 7 is just our work on the blue drop status as well, Chair. And in terms of our assistance and the fact that I think as a water board, the majority of the municipalities that have achieved this are in our area, and we are working with them because we are the ones that are purifying the water. I think I'll go on page 8 in terms of performance highlights. I'm trying to stick with your mandate. We have achieved a revenue of almost 5.9 billion, and our gross margin improvement from 50.96 to 53.56. Our variable costs have increased by 29% year on year, with energy costs increasing by 27% and chemicals increasing by 49%. And there's a 55% increase in EBITDA from 486 to 751 for the
2017.
Earnings before interest tax. depreciation and amortization.
Okay. I thought it's a heavy acronym, but you say earnings before tax.
Earnings before interest, tax, depreciation, and amortization.
Okay.
I didn't come up with this text.
I don't know who the genius is with this.
It's the finance sector. And we have an improvement in profit from operations from 302 million to 536 million. And I
need to add that this has been subsequently utilized for fund capex of 1 billion that we do with the business. And what you have there is just a graph showing the revenue and the gross margin, the gross profit percentage. And in terms of just saying what gave rise to increase in profit or surplus of 5360 million, the increase in volume sold, increasing by 4% against the budget of 2%, as well as the cost containment in terms of the initiatives that we did to take cost out of the organization. And in terms of energy efficiency, you'll see there's a slide as well that shows that although our volumes increased, the level of energy that we've been utilizing has actually been kept at the flat rate, so to speak. We've been using the same energy, although our volumes have increased in terms of running the business.
There's a huge increase here in the profits, but earlier Treasury asked you, they told us they were trying to back for your corner and justify your high salaries. And so what they said is that at least 40% of your reserve had been spent on new CAPEX projects.
Yes.
Is that figure correct?
Yes, it is correct.
So despite you having spent 40% of your reserves on CAPEX, you still showed this huge profit increase.
You must first have the profit before you can actually use it. So what you're doing is, instead of going to the market, as Charles was saying, and getting expensive money through the loan, what we charge
your reserve.
We're trying to use cash from operations to actually do our capital expenditure program. So we've been able to do that in terms of pushing out quite a number of costs out by then using the money for the high
credit. But to impress this committee, you spent 40% of those reserves on new capital projects.
Yes.
Yeah, you've impressed this committee. In fact, if you keep quiet now, you'll actually be in a good place. Okay, go on. You might make a mistake somewhere. Let's go on. Let's hear what else.
In terms of, we put this slide as well because this is what's in our annual report. And there was a requirement for us to start reporting also on these particular issues, which I believe the committee would find interesting. It's earlier measures from the board members' report. The group recorded an irregular expenditure of 8.7 million. I think this is the slide you're looking for. And disciplinary measures have been instituted, and criminal and civil cases have been opened against the relevant parties. And the two issues really that made up most of this is there was a corruption by employees, 4.3 million. There were two cases arising from collusion with suppliers. But we are getting closer to these processes. That's why we are able to pick up when these things happen. And there was the second one was just an employee who authorized expenditure to the value of 4 million, which was over a delegated authority. However, there was no loss for the organization. But we are now focusing on these kind of issues so that we'll be able to report.
So you're trying to recover the 4.2?
Yes. There are cases that have been opened and we are trying to recover the 4.2.
How many people involved?
In this case, there were two.
And SAPSA involved?
Yes.
There's a case number?
Yes.
And what does the police say? When are they expecting?
I can't give an answer at this stage because there's so many cases that they're dealing with, but we are following the process. I don't have the outside.
But I want a report on where this case is, who the people are, and how far the case is.
We will give the information.
But the problem if you leave these things with the police sometimes, people get all kind of ways to get there and these cases disappear. So you must now make sure you don't let this case disappear.
We can't.
You make me happy like with the other 40%, you make me happy by recovering this 4.2. Then you may be made for life, you'll never have a problem with under this committee again.
Thank you, Jay. I look forward to that. There were other two investigations undertaken through the year. Supply chain management, the board has been decided to just review the tenders that were awarded between April and August of 2009. And the findings confirmed that the tender awards were in line with our supply chain management policy, treasury regulations, and delegation of authority. And at board level, an investigation was conducted by Zimbabwe at the request of the Minister of Water and Environmental Affairs just to initiate to determine if the Board of Directors acted with due diligence care 16 exercises in their five sessions. The report is currently being considered by the minister.
In yes. The board creates investigations against you guys. The minister creates an investigation against the board.
It looks like tap dancing there. Man, a lot of tap dancing.
So you say this report's finished, the one that the minister asked for.
They're just waiting for the outcome. It's sitting with the minister to actually consider.
Alright, we must remember this and follow this up. How far this goes.
In terms of performance results against shareholder compact, again, I'll just, with your permission, just focus on the register in terms of where we haven't made targets, because if everything else in terms of profit, net profit margin, gross margin, asset turnover, return on assets, we actually met the or beat the target. The one that is of concern is the current issue, and I think National Treasury, when they did their presentation, they actually highlighted that because the target was 2.05 times, and at this stage we are at 1.4 times in terms of the liquidity buffer that is necessary. But the current ratio itself is related to the work that we're doing from a point of view of the capital expansion program that we're busy with.
Spend more cash, therefore, to drag down your ratio.
Yes.
I think in the long run your decision will be a good one, even if the ratio has gone down.
The next one on page 11 is just on water losses. Our target was 4% and we came at 4.3%. This is the what I would call unaccounted for water. Although when we did the international study, sitting at around between 12 and 15%, we still worried about the 4% given the size of our volume. So it's an area that we're looking into to try and actually make sure that it can manage.
So how do you lose the water?
Sometimes just through operations, you lose some of the water. In certain instances, this is where you'd have, we have over 3,000 kilometers of line underground. But in this case, what we're looking is, we're looking at the metering, we're looking at the building size, we're looking at whether the configurations are right on that. So we're looking at all our production process in terms of trying to find out.
But how do you, I'm not good with math. I've got an F in the trick. How do we actually work out that we've lost 4.3% of water?
You look, you see that they have what they call non-revenue water, which is, as you purify water, you will lose some of it, just in terms of your operation. But then you have the other side where you're saying, is this unaccounted for water, where at the beginning we buy water from the department. So you have
a sell a certain amount,
then you do a reconciliation to actually see whether they are losses. Like I'm saying, under normal circumstances, this figure is low, but for us, because of our volumes, it's something that we need to look at. So that's why
a lot of water if you look at your volumes.
Yes. And in terms of repeat findings, no repeat findings, bulk agreements, I think there was a question earlier. We do have all of them. Water quality compliance, we are at 99.26. Water quality compliance, times 2, plus 1 and 2, 99.26.
Why is board member performance only 75%? I know it's your target, it's a hell of a low target. But why is it only 75? What is the 25% they don't do?
No. It's something that came from the department. Basically, they're looking at measuring the attendance. And for us, we're saying this measurement does not make sense because you can't just measure attendance. You also need to measure effectiveness. But currently, the board has been undergoing a process where they're looking at measuring the best performance, and probably will have to engage.
So the attendance is only 75%.
You do get it.
So they get the big bucks, but they don't come and work to work.
I can't answer that theory.
That's why I'm saying it in public, so that people can. Okay.
Yes, sometimes one has to understand that board members, especially if you're looking at those that are coming from the, I think there was an answer focusing on that, you look at specific things. You would find in certain instances there are clashes. Some of them as well, you find they even get called to parliament or something, so they can't attend the board meeting on that particular day because we do have some that are in other public institutions. So sometimes these things happen and then you find one board member is not able to attend a particular meeting. But all that said, get put together and this is what comes out of it. I just
there's an improvement that is necessary in terms of this particular measurement, because it doesn't measure much if it's just looking at attendance. But it's something that we'll deal with the department of. The next one is on page 12, increased access to services, CAPEX spend on potable water. The target was 1.26 billion and we spent 1 billion. And the explanations are on the next page. I will actually touch on that because we needed to unpack that for you. The original capital expenditure was 1.2 billion, and we had delays in getting approvals on EIA. And the interesting thing is we are Department of Water and Environmental Affairs, so they were supposed to come from our sister department in terms of that. But we are taking this up with the old and the new CG as well to try and make sure that we get the proper approvals, because until we get those record of decisions, it's very difficult for us to do the project that we need to do. So there has been the delay of around 160 million on that. The second part is we deliberately underspend on about 50 million. And on this, we're looking at increasing the lifespan of what we call our movable assets. If we were to set things like IT software, vehicles, security, and part of some infrastructure, like as an example, if we had to replace our computers within a 3 or 5 year lifespan, we've extended that by a year or two. Even some of our vehicles, we started doing that because we felt that we can actually get some savings out of that. Probably next year, because we did this in the past 2 years, we'll actually see a jump on those, but we think at least we were able to extend the lifespan. And so if one takes these two components out, the revised capital expenditure was 1.05 million, and the actual expenditure was 1.005 million. So that's what happened. There's another rate on the previous page, on page 12, which is increased access to services, where we are reporting a need. This was part of our growth investment in terms of what we term the CDBA regional wastewater treatment scheme. I think the committee would be aware that there is a lot of talk around that. We are part of the people that initiated this, but by the look of things, it's not going to be done by us anymore. Because at this stage, I think there are some allocations that have been done. But at that point, in terms of our assumptions and the proposals that we have put on the table, we have thought that we'll be part of the people that do this project. But it doesn't look like we'll be part of the implementers. But I need to also say that this does not form part of the potable water tariff, so it was something that we're doing on the side. The next page, Chair, is every year we talk, and sometimes there's an understanding that is created, or a position that is created, that says we need to look at the reduction of our tariffs and whatever. And we just say here that some of the failures to implement some of our CAPEX programs, especially in terms of the size of our pipelines and the pressures, these are the actual examples of what happened in 2005 as well. And the next one is just one of our pipes that burst and how it affected some of the residential areas. This was, however, just one house. And on page 16, it's just the focus demand growth to 2030. And these are what we take into consideration, factors affecting demand growth, population, demographic models. And then we have a questionnaire that our customers fill as well. And then we look at growth in demand as well. And we use these figures. And on page 17, I think we've been projecting this to the committee for some time in terms of our stations, available capacity, what we need to add, and the year to augment. And then we're projecting the peak date month, and we use this particular model now to decide what we need to do and when we need to do it in terms of our own network. And on page 18 is just the structure of our network. We did bring a hydraulic model, but I think it will take time if we go into it. That shows areas where once you put in these figures, what this model looks like, and whether we have enough capacity and where we need to augment. The reason why, and I think that came out of National Treasury as well, we in the past, in last year and this year as well, we've been underspending on maintenance. That's been because we're looking at augmenting our network, which means 70% of the money that we utilize is what's going on existing infrastructure, like, say, pipeline this size, we are now looking at augmenting it and making it bigger, because most of our money at this stage is looking at our existing infrastructure. And this is just on page 19, the augmentation of the network, showing where we need the growth. I can offer this team 400 megaliters growth, so I've got 300 megaliters growth, Palmy 600 megaliters growth, Mapleton 300 megaliters growth, and our primary system has to grow by 1,600 megaliters per day growth. So these are what informs why we're getting into the capital expenditure program that we're dealing with. And the next slide on page 20 is just showing the figures from 2012 to 2016, 2013 to 2017, because we are looking at balancing it out. We're looking at year of completion, we're looking at the run value in millions, we're looking at the renewal project as well, which is now where we'll be doing a lot of maintenance, and this is the total. So as we go forward, we're starting to shift towards the renewal project, that is rehabilitation and replacement in the five-year rolling plan, so that we're not looking only at expansion, but where we already have enough capacity, we can start looking at maintaining and rehabilitation. And the next day, still talk to the qualification to investment. The plan that we had before, between 2013 and 2016, came to 8.6 billion. We have revised that down to 7.5 billion as well. Because annually, we start looking at whether our assumptions were correct and we adjust those accordingly.
So you look at what the needs are going to be, you put all those plans, and in line with that, you brought your budget back by a billion or something.
Yes.
Because it will comply with all those needs that you have.
Yes.
And cover that. But previously you had over projected.
Because the outer years, obviously your assumptions are not as true as you get closer. But as well, I must say, initially in the plan we had that about wastewater treatment plan that I was talking about. Now we had to take it out because I think it's going to happen, but we're not going to be party to that project, given where I see the government is going with it. So we had to take that out of our five-year plan. And the next one is just the architect that we follow in terms of ensuring that we align National Treasury, the Department of State General, and National Parliament as well, just in terms of reporting. We also now, on page 23, look at what we're doing with all this amount that we're talking about, whether we're creating jobs as well, this is job creation between 2013 to 2017, in terms of number of jobs that we're looking at creating. But we're spending a lot of time also talking to public works in terms of expanded public works program as well to look at how to report and whether we're under-reporting or not. But it's a lot of work that we're doing currently with them. And the next one is really dealing with tariff setting, looking at cost of energy. I think this has been dealt with by the previous presenters as well, and looking at the impact in terms of energy itself, looking at the cost versus the run for a kiloliter. I think on energy usage, if you look at 2009, 2010, and 2011, we've been able to maintain the energy usage. I think as well, cost is a great indicator in terms of how we need to deal with it. The next one is on tax reserves as well, on page 25, just looking at our utilization, application of income statement surplus run per kiloliter, and this is how we use the cash reserves that we have there, and you can get that between 2012-15, 2014 and 2014-15.
What is this? This is 0.5, half a billion.
This is a kiloliter. So the ones that are in bracket that you're looking, this is the projected shortfall that we say will be funded externally. That's when we go into the market now to fund the shortfall.
But that figure, 0.6, is it percentage or is it in millions or billions or what is that? And I'm trying to work out
what it's cents. Yes. We're sorry for the confusion. What we do is we say
it's a hell of a confusion. I can't work out what is figure.
We have it in red there in terms of the surplus that this is run kiloliter. So what happens is we would have a tariff of a particular amount. What we're talking, I think it's 550. And then we'll be all, we take out the portion that goes to PCCA and to the department, then you take out the chemicals and all our costs. What gets left is 0.51 cents. And then you start getting surplus, depreciation, less capex, loan redemption. We actually unpack this in terms of how we operate. So at the end of the day, looking at that, we're looking at 0.66 cents, which would now be something that we have to fund from external sources.
Hey, I thought it could be more, less complicated.
Sometimes we'll say the complicated business. The next one is the TCTA raw water tariff increment. We say Renault purchases this raw water from the Department of Water Affairs and TCTA. In the previous tariff negotiation cycle, the second phase of the Lesotho Highlands Water Project was introduced. And at the time, this was coined as the first of six portions that we're going to get in terms of the tariff increment. However, in this current cycle, TCTA has introduced nine portions instead of six. And this makes for difficult planning in the water sector. There has been no proper justification for this unilateral extension by three more portions in terms of how they do this. And initially, the total capital expenditure was pegged around 7.4 to 7.5 billion. We are aware that now it's pegged at over 15 billion. And in terms of our planning and what we need to do, obviously this is putting a lot of stress and
pressure. They tell you that the Lesotho project will cost 7.5, they've now doubled it.
Yes. And they've also...
They've not told you why.
They haven't. And even in increasing the portions in terms of how many tranches we had to pay, initially they said six, now it's nine, and they never informed anybody. Or at least they didn't inform us about that as their customers. So what we're saying is we see in this... And the graph next to the explanation is actually showing that the first phase was supposed to, that's where the one with the red line going down. But now you have this project that's over there.
Let's talk to you, Ms. Kel, TCTA, when they come here and explain it. Okay.
Which is now saying that from last year, they have actually started introducing the payment for the second phase already. And we're saying... probably they were supposed to have separated this issue. So at least negotiated with us. I'm not sure because we never part of when they come to explain themselves. But I think for us in terms of our business.
Well, you must come and sit here and listen. No one's stopping you.
You
guys get a lot of money, so some of you high paid people can come here and come and listen in Parliament. And see the DCTA come.
Earn some real hard earned money. You still have to wait here.
Now we'll let them explain to us what this is about. But if I see the effect of it, if originally you budgeted to pay X, it's now going to be double.
Yes.
Is that what it means?
That's what it means. Okay. And this is going to follow through.
And then as you usually do, you just pass that on to the consumer very kindly.
But what
thank you very much.
But what we're trying to do is to highlight this in the beginning so that something can be done about it. We just don't want to pass through the cost.
We'll let TCTA Mestoko then come and explain this one. Okay.
And on page 27, it's just the tariff consultation before the revised energy tariff. We say in Rainwater we follow the consistent rationale for increasing our tariffs over years. And this has been based on assessment Rainwater's internal rate of inflation. This is a projection of the expected increase in total cost. A breakdown of the total cost and their overall expected range of price increase is then proposed a tariff increment. And what we have here, you have all the elements that make up our tariff. And in red, we highlighted the 3.5% increase coming from TCTA. If the chair remembers, last year it was 2%, but now it's gone by 1.5% because they started looking at the second phase of the Lesotho Highlands Water Project even before its inception. We just think it's important that all the principles are understood. And then you have our...
On this sheet of the department, they say your increase this year is 4.53. Where is that? I don't see 4.53 there.
I think they put it in rent basis in terms of what we're looking at. What we have here is the presentation. So this
they got it in both. They got average reduced tariff R per KL. But the new one is 4.53 for you, Jeff. The tariff increase.
Is it in percentage or in rand? It's a rand per kiloliter. So what you're reporting is in percentage.
Oh, is this rand? 4.53 rand.
Yeah.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay.
But what you see on the first page is what we had originally submitted, and you can see our different costs. Although as well, I must say that our engagement with municipalities, especially on the energy component coming from municipalities, there hasn't been necessarily a flow through of the ESCOM tariff change. I'm going to get to the slide, I think it's the next page, where we're looking at the device.
Oh, yes, the percentage, 13.5.
Yes. But after the ESCOM reduction, it's now moved to 11.3, yes.
Okay.
But what we always say, for energy, we always separate ESCOM from municipalities because in certain instances, it looks like the municipalities are not passing through the ESCOM reduction to customers. And in certain instances, we are their customers, so we can actually see it. It's been nice looking and listening to Salta, but as well, because we are their customers, so it would be nice for them to come and listen to the, the issues that they are raising as well for us. Maybe that would be in a different way to recognize.
So when you have a meeting with them, put both issues on the table. Don't just talk about one.
We have been talking to them about this one as well.
Yeah, I'm prepared to meet you on this to discuss the tariff, but then I want to put all these issues on the table.
We have been talking to them, but we formalize it as well.
Mm-hmm.
And at this stage, then, in terms of page 28, this is now with the revised ESCOM tariff, we're looking at 11.3%.
Okay,
and it's
okay. Yeah, we know that already.
And then in terms of tariff conclusion, we still believe that we need to be looking at the multi-year tariff, I think, for proper planning on our part. And we are waiting the conclusion of the Department of Water Affairs pricing strategy. And in terms of demand projections, Renota would like to work with Salga, the province and national office, when it consults with local councils on demand projections. Lessons from this consultation should be could be used by Salga to capacitate local councils with less capacity to undertake such exercises. And within Caltech itself, there's what is called the Project 15% in terms of a reduction of their water losses as well. And we think we should also work closely with Salga in terms of sorting out the problem. On acid mine drainage, this always provides an opportunity for Salga and its members to increase capacity and volume of potable water. This water is changing within municipal areas, and there are international examples of where local councils are treating this water. Rainwater would like to work with Salga to investigate this alternative.
Next one.
Next slide is just some of the challenges that we have.
Yeah, the EEI, we want to have public hearings on this. You must keep your eyes open so that you guys can come and make presentations here. When we get to that, we want to look at the challenges with EEI, but we just keep shifting the date. But I'm hoping to have it in the third term.
Okay?
Okay. Just watch that and you can come and give your complaints about it.
And
what
the,
use license
the issue of what has his license. I understand the problem with the department because we're dealing with a finite product, so to speak, in terms of increasing abstractions and all that. But on our side, we're saying it's taking a bit longer than expected in terms of issuing of water use license. And I think that...
Yeah, we want to become a catchment management agency as well.
What we're saying is...
And soon you'll have the whole empire there. You'll have the whole system.
Can I explain that? I think the essence of what we want to do has been explained earlier today. In the first instance, we're saying, yes, the department can decide to have catchment management agencies, but we just need them as an extra layer of cost put above where we are, and that's going to be borne by the end consumers. That's the first thing. The second thing is we say we want to play that role of the airport department. And the reason is a number of members asked a question earlier in terms of what is happening with the deteriorating quality of water. And what we're saying is because it has an impact on our primary business itself, if we are party to sorting that out, we will actually look at it. Because if you look at the chemical costs, they are increasing because of the deteriorating quality of raw water. And frankly, we used to do this before. And at this stage, the department has not necessarily been doing it that well. If you look at the fact that all the water boards have to now pay more to purify water, because in terms of standards, we can't necessarily compromise on making sure that people get good quality water. But I think we believe, at least as Rainwater, that we can do a better job in terms of managing the catchment. And that's the reason why we want to be involved in this space.
This TV show, The Five Thrones or something. Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones.
Everyone wants to be a king. Looks like you want to be all five kings.
We have been doing this before. Until legislation changes.
Yeah. Okay. All right. And look, can I just say that I like it when I see, you know, when someone gives an input, and I can feel in the end like a glowy, fuzzy feeling that some things are going relatively well, over and above your expansion moves. Like every good empire, you're always looking forward to expand. But other than that, there's a lot of good stuff that I see here, and that's obviously why you get the big bucks, the big salary. I see you said nothing here about staff in your interest, about salary, what salary increases you got last year and so on. But I'm going to leave that to the members to ask you after lunch. I see you've left it out completely. Although you know that it's a very big interest of mine that you've left out your salary increases and so on.
Can I just say...
Where the big salaries are at the moment?
Can I just say at this stage that the increases of salaries in Rainwater have been between 6% and 7%. But for the executive management, it's been zero. Because the department determines my salary. It's not the board that does that.
Sorry, that's something that discusses with me.
Well, it's between the committee and the... But at this stage...
You say across the board, amongst your other staff, would be 6 to 7.
Yeah, 6 to 7.
How much increase did we get? 5 to 7. So you still got 2% more.
Well, I don't know
about... 2% more than I said. I hope there's justification for that.
Well, yeah.
Well, you can always give us a slide after lunch and we'll have a look at what you've done with your salary.
We can do that. But we always say, and I think this is what we say to the department as well, if we have to be aligned to what comes out of public service, let it be. Then we don't have these yearly things worth negotiating with labor. Then it just comes and that's it. And frankly, one can do some work instead of this, but at the end of the day, I understand there has to be this comparison. But we say if we are moving towards a situation where we need to align with public service, we just need a decision to be made, and then I don't have to have outside negotiating with labor. So we'll welcome that.
No, look, obviously what one wants to check, I do accept that in a good functioning structure like Rainwater, you might get some people that get big salaries like you do. I accept that. And that you would not want to necessarily drag them down to whatever civil service salary, because else there's a quality of person. But I think the big problem is the way that increases have taken place in these different institutions. You know, that there are some people in these chapters which I regard broadly as being part of government, where some of these people get salaries that are bigger than the president. I mean, some of these municipalities, by the way. There's one or two of these municipal managers that get a salary bigger than the president. So that's the kind of balance that we want to get. I'm not one of those people that say everyone must get the same salary, we want to drag down everyone to the low salary of an MP. I wouldn't want to say that. Because then you're going to have people like me only becoming MP. You would want to get some people like yourselves who have got certain skills that at least are attracted to these jobs. But it's the balance that we create that's the problem. I mean, I don't know how you in state-owned entities get people that earn higher salaries than the president of the country. Because at the top of the pile should be the president. And that's the problem that we have, okay? Not to say that everyone must be dragged down to a certain level. So we must be careful with the balances that we create. So with your, I mean, when we got a 5% increase, I think it was about 10, 20 rand we got extra. Obviously, when you get 6 and 7 on your big salary, now we're talking $500,000 and so on a 6 to 7%. So I understand that. I don't want to drag you down to my level and at my salary when I get, okay?
Okay, I'll see you after lunch. Let's have lunch. Let's start sharp at 1:45, more or less.